Steve, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of our program, of our show. It's Bill Left, it's Wendy Snyder. We're thrilled that you're listening. We hope you'll contribute at any point, 312-981-7200.
It does not look bleak for this country. It's a sunny Friday right now.
That's the right way to look at it.
That's how I'm going to look at it from this point
forward. That is the right way to look at it. Yesterday was such a strange day in so many ways, wasn't it? It just was such a bizarre day. I was not on the show, but I got
you
to
weren't?
See. No, I didn't do the yesterday show.
That was strange.
Huh. No, nobody noticed that? You guys didn't
Did
notice
you
it
notice
wasn't?
Bill was gone, Steve?
No, I had a weird feeling at the end of the day, but I couldn't
That's
place
weird.
It.
Because I wasn't here at all yesterday.
Maybe that was it.
Was everything all right?
Yeah, as it turns out it is. I can just briefly say this. On my way into work yesterday, I was coming into work yesterday, and I had a couple of very strange episodes where, as I was driving, I almost blacked out. I was on Lakeshore Drive.
That's not good.
It's not good. It is not. I don't recommend it to anybody. But I had an incident on Lakeshore Drive that while I was driving, I all of a sudden got some strange pains and got very, very hot and couldn't breathe and almost blacked out. And then I thought I was out of the woods. And then I was on Grand Avenue, very close by to the studio. My plan was to just get there.
And then figure out what was going on.
And then I was stopped at another intersection, and the same exact thing happened. And I came in, and I called the doctor and explained what was going on. And I said, look, on my way home, can I stop in? And the doctor's office said, oh, no, you have to go to an emergency room right now. So that's what I did. It was a spooky. I don't know if you've ever had that happen where as you're driving, did you ever do this while you're driving your car? Like all of a sudden the check engine light will go on and like everything on the dashboard is like flickering and you go, I don't think my car is going to make it. That was my body was doing that yesterday.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, there's something wrong with us as a population because when that happens, we should pull over and stop, but we try to get where we're going. Even when your car acts like that, you should pull over and call AAA or whatever, but no, you push it and try to get to a place of comfort.
It's so funny you say that because for the rest of the day, and I was in the ER yesterday from about 10:30 till about 6:30 yesterday.
That's good.
I did
Usually
a series
it's
of
longer.
Tests. I was okay. I said to them, I go, take as much time as you want, figure out what this is, and we can get into that in just a little bit. But the more I thought
You're
about
okay, it, though. Say
I'm,
it like,
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine now. They gave me some medicine and figured out kind of what it is. I still have to go in for a couple of other tests.
Were they chewables?
No, these... No, they gave them
is
to me.
Is that funny, Steve? It's Bill Left. There's a picture of you in every emergency room.
Well, as they were giving me the medication, I said to one of the doctors, this is the first pill of any kind I've had that's not been shaped like either a rubble or a Flintstone in many, many years.
You know, you are, first of all, adorable, and you're like a little kid in a grown-up body, so you must be very fun to deal with at hospital situations, except if they come at you with a needle.
I wasn't going for fun yesterday, but many of the workers there at Evanston Hospital had a good time. That was not my goal. I wasn't there to entertain.
But you
but
do,
it
man.
It was. I'll give you a quick example of this. They had to put electrodes on me to do EKG tests to see if this was either a preliminary heart attack or a heart attack.
Which
or
it sounds
like, that.
Like it if you're blacking out and all your engine lights are coming out.
That was their first concern. So they had to put these electrodes on my chest, and my chest is fairly hairy.
Sexy hairy.
Very
You're sexy.
Sexy
beast.
Very hairy. And the girl stopped and said, this may be a shaving situation. And I said, I already shaved today. And she said, no, no. So then she said, I apologized and said, if I knew this was coming, I would have shaved more because the electrodes were not sticking to me after numerous attempts.
Doesn't stick to fluff.
Does not. And she said, believe it or not, which I guess is a nice way of saying, she goes, you're not the hairiest person I've had today a little while ago. And then she just stopped because she realized she shouldn't be telling me this. And I said, what'd you have the bear from Revenant in? Who was it before me?
Look at you.
I know. Well, I thought it was my last day on the planet, Wendy. I was having a good time. But to make a long story short, I'm okay. They did give me shots, which I'm not good with. You know this. I tried to bargain with them. I offered them cash. If they wouldn't give me shots, they would have none of that. They explained the importance of having an IV. I did talk them into giving me shots in my hand, which I've never had before. They're almost always on the inside of my arm. But I said, if you give them to me in my hand, I can kind of tolerate that. So they did. So there was some bargaining going back and forth.
That's good.
Yeah.
You should have gotten it in your butt.
Do they still offer that as
no,
an option?
No.
I don't think they do.
And you have made my 13-year-old scared of shots now because he's had blood tests for a while. And I said, why aren't you going in for a blood test? Bill doesn't like needles. I'm like, you're not Bill.
It's so funny. They explained to me yesterday as I was telling them how bad it would be to give me shots. And I've heard other people in the medical profession say this before, that there is such a profile for people who are afraid of shots. It's always relatively healthy men.
Yep.
That's
really
who it is.
Because, you know why? Since you're healthy, you haven't had a lot of shots or blood draws.
I guess so.
Well, I was worried for you because I figured you were concerned about your health anyway, and then it's got to be playing on you that you might have to get shots when you're on the way to the hospital.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is wondering what could possibly be wrong. And they have narrowed out all the ones that are really serious. It's not any of those things, but I still have to go back for a couple of extra tests to see what happened. But yeah, all the way to the hospital, Stephanie, who works here at the station, our former producer, was the one who drove us.
Drove you, and I think you were more worried about that, quite honestly.
The shots.
No, her driving your car.
Driving? All right, that scared me a little bit, too. I'll be honest with you. I will say there were three nurses that were all in line to give me the actual shot, and I explained to them that I get very violent. So they said, well, you pick which one of us you want us to give you the shot. And my criteria was, I said, which of you are the least religious? And they said, why? And I said, because you're going to hear me say things that will make you question your belief in religion. So based on that, we decided who would give me the shots.
And that worked out okay?
Yes. Yeah, I know that sounds crazy, but it worked.
I'm glad you're okay. I was worried about you yesterday, and it's like I jump into problem solving when things happen, and I don't know if you noticed that, because they suggested you go to a nearby hospital, and I'm like, no, you need to go to your hospital. Here's what we're going to do.
Right.
We're going to have somebody drive you in your car, so your car is
right
near your house, and I can't help myself, so I'm sorry if I became
bossy. I needed somebody. I obviously wasn't thinking clearly yesterday, because if I was, I wouldn't have driven all the way in. I would have turned around and gone back home and had the test done. But, yeah, my dedication here. You know, Wendy, I give 30 to 35% every day on this show, and I didn't want you to be missing that.
We didn't miss you. We did miss you, and I was worried about you, but I'm sorry. I take over, like, in the sense, all right, here's what we got to do. Here's the plan. And then I think Kevin suggested an Uber, and we decided that if something happened to you in the Uber ride, that would be a lot for an Uber guy
to
handle.
How unfair would that have been to the Uber driver?
And he could have just ruled you out and kept going.
Right.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. Lucy. I wouldn't have blamed him for that. Now, the second half of this, and we can talk about this in a little bit, is I know how strange the morning was with Mitt Romney taking shots on Trump and then Trump responding. The perfect place to see that was in an ER.
Oh.
That's where I saw all that take place. And
was there a lot of rumblings?
Yes. It was like a town hall meeting there in the ER of people who were believers of Trump, people who were upset that Romney was doing this. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, at least you had something to watch while you were waiting for
right.
18 hours.
Right. That's true. Very positive. All right, a quick break.
We're glad you're okay.
Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate it. Big show today, Bill and Wendy WGN. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. I wasn't here yesterday. We were just explaining. I had a little bit of a medical scare, but everything's fine now. I didn't get to hear you guys. I was in a hospital, but I'm guessing you talked quite a bit about what happened with Mitt Romney disavowing Donald Trump and then Donald Trump's retort to him.
Yes, because it was all happening when we were on the air. And as Steve pointed out very early on, maybe all of us were making a bigger deal about his endorsement 4 years ago, Mitt Romney's, to Donald Trump,
yeah,
and that how he changed things. So, Steve, you could probably...
Well, you know, they're saying, how could Mitt Romney say all those wonderful things about Donald Trump 4 years ago and now say that he shouldn't be president? And my only point was, you can accept the support of a lot of people who you don't think should be president.
But isn't that in the same vein as they show the Clintons, they show Bill and Hillary Clinton at the Trump wedding where they're all smiles, and you say to yourself, well, who's friends with who and who
right.
doesn't like who if they're going to each other's weddings and supporting each other?
Even more delicious, Bill, in the debate last night, they pointed out that Trump has contributed four times to Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential run.
How about that? How about that? And then you have Chris Christie, who has said horrible things about Donald Trump as recently as a week and a half ago.
And now he won't leave his side.
He's standing behind him all smiles. This VP. Is my guy. So,
and is Mitt going to run? Is that what's happening?
He said no.
He said again today that there's.
He reiterated no.
Do you believe
no.
him?
Yeah, I believe.
I think he's a guy who has, you know, he's got nothing at stake as far as future political office.
Except so. Sour grapes.
Except for sour grapes.
Huge sour grapes.
But he's a choke artist.
But you have to admit, in a campaign that has been tenuous at best, yesterday was one of those days where from start to finish, from the very beginning of Mitt Romney talking about how this is not the guy for the Republican Party, and then Trump coming on and bashing him, and then the debate last night, which was nothing short of a debacle.
It was a debacle debate.
Phenomenal. I mean, you know, and you had... You had Trump in Maine in the middle there. You made reference, you know, saying that Romney would have dropped to his knees if he had asked.
How about that?
It's an amazing thing.
And again, I know that Donald Trump speaks colorfully, but that would not have happened, would it? Is there any scenario no. where, as he said, he was begging for my support? If Donald Trump says at that moment, "All right, you want my support? Down on your knees. I want to hear you beg for it." That doesn't happen, right?
No. No, no.
And a couple of things that I thought, I mean, I just thought it was so bizarre that someone in the party would say, don't vote for this guy, do whatever you can to not.
Right.
And in a way, we talked about this yesterday, that it only helped Donald Trump because people want to go against establishment.
I guess so.
You want to rebel. We're all like that. If somebody tells you to do this, you're going to do the opposite. And also, Mitt coming forth and saying this is slamming his party too, because the people spoke.
And don't forget, it's not just Mitt Romney, it's John McCain.
Right,
and my
right.
guess is that in the next few days or weeks, you'll probably see other people at the forefront of the party make similar statements. Now, here's a question that I've not heard answered by anybody. Does Mitt Romney do that on his own yesterday, or is there some big closed door meeting where they say we have to get somebody who the party looks up to say something bad about Donald
There's
Trump.
There's a meeting to determine there,
who's
the guy.
In the meeting, Wendy? There's no one in charge anymore. There's no, you know, I mean, there
and
might...
that's what is so bizarre to me. The whole party is imploding.
But is it? I mean,
there might have been phone calls, Bill, and within. But I mean, it was probably more of a solitary thing than a concerted effort.
But they were behind him, obviously.
Yeah. So it's not Mitch McConnell, and it's not Ryan, and it's not... I mean, there's certain names that are considered to be more important than others in the party.
Or more of the standard bearers of the mainstream, right.
So those guys don't say, look, before this thing gets even more out of hand than it is, one of us needs to come forward and make a statement or two about what the rest of the party feels. Did that happen?
There might have been people, you know, pressuring him or urging him to, but I just don't think there's that sort of concerted effort. I mean, you know, first of all, a party's never as organized as you think it is. It's all a bunch of individual people,
right?
Whether Democrats or Republicans. But so, yeah, was there this committee that says, okay, someone's got to go out there. We choose Mitt.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. He did this on his own. Let's say he decides, look, I'm going to make a statement. Does he have to clear that with somebody to make, I mean, it was already chaotic, but does he have to make a call or two to somebody saying, is this okay with everybody else on the right that I'm doing? He doesn't.
No. He doesn't? No,
well, who's he going to do that to? Think of it. Is he going to call Reince Priebus, the head of the party? You know, he's got almost no influence now. I mean, no, I think, you know, the party, it's
But what
it's
if
not
somebody
as cohesive
didn't,
as that.
Obviously, because it just seems weird that somebody would say, don't worry, I have this.
Right.
You know, if you were part of the party, wouldn't you want to go, okay, well, what are you going to say? I need to know if I'm...
Right.
We don't want you being our mouthpiece.
Well, he wasn't speaking on behalf of the party, though.
No,
he was speaking as a former nominee.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad you're back, and I said this yesterday. I really am not. I hate politics. I really do. But you have to pay attention to it now because it's changed so dramatically. And, you know, I want to go back to having fun on this show, but this is, it's our civic responsibility and duty to discuss this stuff.
Well, this election, more than any other that I can remember, there's so many blind alleys and twists and turns. And it is, I mean, like it or hate it, you got to admit, it's fascinating.
Totally.
It's so, as Mitt Romney was speaking yesterday, I was watching this going, Not only do I not remember this happening, I don't remember anything even close to this happening.
No, and think of it. Think of the risk of it. If Trump does win, now you've got this delicious video of the last presidential nominee for the Republicans talking about how dangerous the world will be if Trump wins.
Right.
I mean, think what the Democrats will do with that.
Right.
Think what the other countries are going to do with that. That's what I am concerned with.
If you're any other country, if you're an ally of the United States, if you're an enemy of the United States, you're watching this saying, is that the state of affairs in the U.S.? Is that what's going on?
It's
it is what's going on.
Stock.
I know. I know, and it shouldn't. All right. At some point, we also need to discuss a little bit about the debate last night, most notably the final question, which if you're not aware of it, the final question was, I'm paraphrasing here, but if you're not the candidate and it's Donald Trump, will you still support the party? Will you still support Trump for president? Because the question was interesting and the answers were even more interesting. So we'll get to that at some point today.
We're here all day. Two shows. For
two
the
shows.
Price of one on
no
a Friday.
Waiting. Yep. All right. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news and then more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end.
You got to take care of your end, Bill.
Truer words never spoken, Wendy. You do need to take care of your end.
Do you know...
How are things on your end?
My end's fine.
Everything's good?
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. In the studio with us right now, a gastroenterologist, Dr. Yolandra Johnson. Hi, Dr. Johnson. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
You are a senior clinician educator for North Shore University. And is it true that this is one of the cancers, if found early enough, you can take care of?
Absolutely. There aren't a lot of cancers that you can prevent. And colon cancer is one of them. If we get these early findings out called polyps, we can actually prevent it 90% of the time.
This is obvious, but they say you're supposed to be considering this test around the age of 50 unless your family has a history of it. Then you might want to check in a couple of years earlier, huh?
Right. So most people start at 50.
Yeah.
But there are some situations where you want to start earlier. If you have a family history of colon cancer, we usually start at 40 mm-hmm. or 10 years younger than that person was when they were first diagnosed. If you have a history of something called ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, those patients start earlier. People that have these family genetic syndromes, mm-hmm. and actually many of the GI societies are asking African Americans to start at 45.
Are they? Yeah.
Yes.
I had one because I had some stomach issues and they wanted to get in and see what was going on. And when I had a colonoscopy, to me, the worst part of it was the prep work the day before. You have to eat clear liquids, so you're starving. And then I used the white pills that they had years ago, and there were a lot of pills, and I had to drink a lot of Gatorade, not red.
Exactly. No red or purple dye. You know, I think that the prepping is the part that most people do worry about, but things have gotten better.
No pills anymore?
We're using usually two different types of preps. There's one that's a big jug, the gallon prep, I think, that most people have heard about. The nice thing is that we're now splitting it in half. So you're taking half the night before, half the morning of, and I think that makes it a lot more reasonable for people. That's a standard prep. We also have some small volume preps that are maybe just 6 ounces twice with a bunch of water, and a lot of people are using those as well.
And this is to flush your system out, to make
right.
you go to the bathroom a lot?
Yeah. Well, we have to clean it out.
Yeah.
You know, your colon's full of stool, as you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But in order for us to see these very small little early growths called polyps, you have to be very, very clean.
Uh-huh.
No nuts. You can't eat nuts how
about
long before?
About a week.
Yeah.
We don't want any nuts or seeds. Those clog up our scope. We don't
okay.
like that. And then again, we want you to be on kind of a light diet the few days before, then the clear liquids, clean it all out so we can see what we're trying to find.
Wendy, as you pointed out, has had this done. I have not had this done. So, you know.
And I'm
going to this month, actually.
Excellent. This is
yeah.
the perfect month. This is March.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
was a big radio promotion that WGN got behind, no pun intended. Bill Left's colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to put it on the website.
It'll be on the internet. People can't wait to see it. But yeah, it is more the prep that I'm more nervous about, because you're completely out. Although when my brother-in-law had his done, he opted to be awake for this. What's the advantage in being awake during this?
Can you opt to be awake?
You can try. Absolutely. You know, the thing is that the way we see is we put air in the colon. So You're cleaning yourself out, and then we put air in so we can see where we're going.
All right.
If you're able to tolerate some of the air and some of the gas and the pressure, you certainly can stay awake. Most people, though, opt to be sedated so that they can drift off into sleep and then wake up, and we're all done.
All right.
It really is. My husband just had one recently, too, and he just had the liquid at night, and then in the morning he woke up, and I was jealous because it's like I had to work so hard for my colonoscopy.
Right.
But then afterwards, it's you seriously wake up and say, okay, where are we going for breakfast? It's really not an issue.
It really is not. And I think that if you're someone who tends to constipation, sometimes the prep can be a little more difficult for you. It may take a little longer to kick in. But this is such an important cancer. You know, it's so common in the United States. It's actually the second leading cause of cancer deaths for men and women in the U.S.
And the fact that it's so preventable
is
frustrating, right?
It's very frustrating. We only have about 65% of Americans are screened. So we're trying to get that number up.
Mm-hmm.
And March is a perfect month to
Once you go and do it, normally you do it on about a five-year interval, right?
It all depends on what we find. So if you're cleaned out...
If they find Jimmy Hoffa, you may have to go more frequently.
El Chapo was using my colon as a tunnel for a while. I felt very uneasy about that.
Did you get very far? Not really. So what I would say is that if you're cleaned out well and there's no family history... And there are no polyps.
Yeah.
You come back in 10 years. I mean, that's great.
Oh, that's good news.
You're not there that often.
Yeah.
If a polyp is found, really just based on the number of polyps, the size, the location, then you're back either in 3 years or 5 years.
Yeah.
If we find a polyp that has early cancer cells, sometimes a year. And obviously, if we find colon cancer, which we don't always find on screening, again, we're looking for polyps, then you're off to the surgeon and we go from there.
Are there times, and I'm guessing this is the case, where while they're in there, if they see something, they'll do a surgery right then and there, won't they?
Well, they wouldn't do an actual surgery, but you can remove the polyp. And that's the advantage of colonoscopy as a screening tool.
Yeah.
We do the procedure and we can take care of the polyp right then and there.
Okay, that's good news.
All right, we're getting a lot of texts. And really, we're joking about it because we're trying to make it easy to talk about because it's embarrassing. And I think that's a lot of the reason why people don't go get checked. That's it.
People are very embarrassed about this part of the body. Just know that your gastroenterologist is looking at the TV monitor. We're not looking, you know, really at you. So.
And there is some pointing and laughing sometimes, right? No, not a lot of pointing and laughing? Okay, that's good
news.
All right, but listen to how important these texts are. 847, I have a friend, I just lost it, so many are coming in, first of all, what are the early signs of colon cancer? Can you help us with that while I find this other one?
Okay, well, I would say the thing to remember is that polyps don't often give symptoms, and that's why we need to screen.
Mm-hmm.
But colon cancer, rectal bleeding would be one, a change in bowel habits. So someone who has normal, large bowel movements suddenly become pencil thin, or you don't go for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Anemia would be a sign as well, and rarely abdominal pain.
Yeah.
Okay, someone said, my best friend just died of this cancer at age 34. I'm terrified. And people, we can prevent this if you go get checked. 34, way too young.
It's very tough, you know. I mean, there's a trend now we're seeing that younger people are developing colon cancer.
That's terrible.
We're not quite sure. Is it obesity? Is it diet? Is there an unknown family history? And I would say for the younger listeners, just don't ignore symptoms. You know, I think that people in their 30s and 40s may think rectal bleeding is hemorrhoidal.
Yeah.
Get it checked out. Go to the doctor because you never know.
The one that hit me was when Katie Couric went through this thing with her husband and they came right out and said, this is the kind of thing that if he had just gone in 6 months or 8 months earlier, they would have found he'd still be alive.
And it's tough. I think he was under 50, though.
He was.
So, and I lost my best friend in her early 40s to
terrible.
Cancer. And it's the same thing. You know, you just never know.
Yep.
But most people get in there at 50 and we can hopefully prevent this.
Yeah.
Please get tested. Just lost a 30-year-old friend. Rest in peace, Kyle. Prep is nothing. If you have a healthy diet, it's really not even an issue. I was out during the procedure and had no memory or discomfort. And my father died of colon cancer, so I went in early. All good.
Right.
So you should do it. And there is no age for it, and it doesn't discriminate between men or women.
Well, you know, they're very close. I mean, men have a very slightly higher risk, but not by much. So we all need to get screened. And I think just, again, family history starts at 40 every 5 years or 10 years younger than that person was.
This isn't fair, but you were explaining to Wendy and myself that for some reason – the procedure is easier for men. How could this
everything
be?
Everything is.
Well, yeah, that's everything
it.
Seems
that
to be.
That is the answer. You know, I would just say, just based on experience, I obviously am a female physician, so I see a lot of female colons. Men's colons tend to be a little bit straighter. They don't have hysterectomies. They haven't had C-sections. So we tend to use a lot of the pediatric scopes in our female patients. So do know that, women who've had surgeries, we can get around your colons. We have little scopes that can do the job.
Yeah. They told me, I had a little medical procedure yesterday where they said you need a colonoscopy and you need an endoscopy. Shouldn't the endoscopy, all things being equal, shouldn't that be on the reverse side? Isn't that misnamed somehow?
Well, they're all called endoscopies.
Oh, they all are?
One is just an upper endoscopy
and
one is
a
lower endoscopy. Right. So endoscopy means we're just looking inside the GI tract with our little camera.
Is that common that people get them both done? Because they said to me, look, you're going to be out for one, you might as well be out for both. Is that about right?
I think it depends.
If you need it.
If you have upper symptoms, heartburn or chest pain, difficulty swallowing, then sure. But In general, most people just have the colonoscopies alone.
All right.
We have a caller here. Can you pop on some headphones over there if there are any? I'm sorry. this is John. Hi, John. We're talking to Dr. Yolandra Johnson, Is it Johnson?
Because
there's no
Johnson.
All right. There's no N in here.
Well, I'm a survivor, and I just like to back up what the doctor's talking about because. Well, I had a lot of fun here about 6 years ago. I was a month short of my 79th birthday, and I woke up with a pain like 10 plus. And by the time I got a hold of the doctor and he got back to me, all he said was, get yourself to the emergency room, which I did. I wasn't in there more than about 10 minutes. Physical diagnosis was a tumor. CAT scan proved it, tube down my nose, scheduled for surgery the following day, and they took a 4-inch tumor out of my colon.
And how are you doing now, John?
Well, I'm still, as of today, I'm cancer-free.
Look at that.
Oh, that is awesome. That is excellent.
I'm on my every 6 months now, and the doctor... I'm partially sedated, and this is the funny part. And they're rolling me up to the OR, and I look, and who's opening the doors? But the doctor that did an abdominal surgery on me 3 years before.
Wow.
And one thing led to another. He told me later, he said, I think I did you a favor. He said, instead of rehooking your colon, I gave you a colostomy.
Mm-hmm. And that
and, he said, after you get through with the chemo and everything else and you're back and on your feet, I can take you back in and hook you back up.
You got some good care there, John, and we are glad that you survived it.
Yeah.
Just another reason. Go get checked. I know it's embarrassing, but if you've read that book when you had kids or you were a kid, everyone poops. Everyone does, and we have to take care of it. John, good luck to you and continued health.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take a quick break and just come back and wrap this up?
Yeah.
There's a couple of other questions here. Dr. Yolandra Johnson, gastroenterologist, senior clinician and educator for North Shore University Health System. You can go to northshore.org.
Yes.
Quick break, 312-981-7200. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. It's also the month of the big promotion. Bill Left, I don't know what we've decided to name it, but you're getting...
It's MeTube instead of YouTube. that's what we're naming it.
Dr. Yolandra Johnson was in the studio. She may walk
She's
out.
She's leaving.
Gastroenterologist, senior clinician educator for North Shore University Health System. And seriously, 1 in 7 cancers are found in young patients. Colorectal cancer remains the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. in both men and women. And a lot of people have been texting and saying that it's expensive and, you know, it's great and everything to go get screened at age 50, but what if you don't have great insurance?
Well, I can tell you that most insurance companies now actually cover screening colonoscopy outside of the deductible. So there should be no cost to the patient.
Kind of like a mammogram.
Like a mammogram.
Good.
Absolutely.
And call your insurance company and find out. You know, obviously your mileage may vary on that, but that's interesting to know.
Right. That is relatively new in the last few years.
Interesting. Kathy has a question. Hi, Kathy. Dr. Johnson in the studio.
Hello.
Hi, Kath.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a quick question. I have 7 brothers and sisters, and there are 5 of us that currently are experiencing diverticulitis issues. Do you feel that this is a genetic thing? We've even had one of my siblings that blew out her colon and had to have that big surgery as well.
All right. First of all, diverticulitis, what is that, doctor?
Okay. So diverticulosis, those are pockets, little weak areas on the wall of the colon, usually on the left side of the colon, which is where we store our stool. They can certainly run in the family, and they can also be associated with being constipated. So needing to bear down and push and strain to have bowel movements can make these little pockets form. Certainly if everyone in the family almost is experiencing it, and you have some young people, you know, under 50 with this problem, it may be genetic. It's just one of those things you have to keep an eye on and try to increase the fiber in the diet and really decrease the constipation.
And diverticulosis is the precursor to that?
So diverticulosis is just having the pocket, which many people do.
That's pretty common?
Pretty common, and certainly on our American diet of, you know, not so much fiber. But diverticulitis is when those pockets get inflamed, and it can be absolutely serious. You can rupture the colon, like she said. You can need antibiotics. You can need to be in the hospital for treatment. And some people have to have elective surgery to take that part of the colon out.
So, Kathy, do you have a specific question other than is it hereditary?
Well, it seems to me that it is hereditary, but one of our physicians has told us that we're all around the same age. We're all in our 40s and 50s, and he seems to think it's because the way we ate when we were younger.
Easily.
And we weren't eating salads and fiber and all those things, so...
It is associated with constipation and a low fiber diet because the colon then has to work harder to push the stool out, and then you end up with these little weak areas. And in fact, that's one of the things we tell people when we talk about how do we prevent colon cancer. You know, we don't know exactly how to prevent it, but we know that obesity is a risk factor for many cancers, certainly colon cancer. Smoking is a huge risk for colon cancer. And we tell people to be on a high fiber, low fat, so low processed meat diet. And I think that would help you for diverticulosis and colitis as well.
Kathy, good luck to you. Sorry your whole family has it. Someone else, we don't have time to get to all these questions, but this listener's daughter had a polyp at age 17. So it really can happen at any time.
It can.
Get screened. What is the best way to find out information about Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month?
Well, you can certainly go to northshore.org and you can find out about colon cancer and colon cancer screening that we do. We list all our doctors there, our procedures, our preps, you know, all the information you need. Just remember that if we get rid of these little polyps, which are early growths on the colon, we can actually cure the cancer.
That's, you know, the
we can
key.
Prevent it, I should say.
That's the best part.
So it's
part.
One of the most preventable types of cancers out there.
Yeah.
How about that? We should get Dr. Yolandra Johnson involved in your MeTube.
You want to be involved in that?
Sure.
All right. I just lost a bet with myself. I wish you'd say no. All right, good.
Thank you so much. Go to northshore.org. And we really appreciate it. If you can prevent something, why wouldn't you try?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Greatly appreciated. We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news, then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kurt Wagner just said the strangest thing, Wendy. He said, do you guys want to hear about my first colonoscopy?
Did you ask him if we could talk about this other
Do you want to talk about your colonoscopy? Is that a TV show?
Well,
I don't think that
been.
Should be
I
a TV
made it
show.
A TV show.
Oh, man.
I made them wheel the TV, you know, the thing.
Monitor.
You
monitor,
watched it while it was
and
happening.
And give me my glasses. I made them wheel it into
Now,
view.
You're a TV critic. What would you have done to make this more entertaining for the viewers.
It was entertaining to me because, like I said, I've never looked up my own.
Sure. Yes. I hope not. That'd be awkward for everybody.
I would look. Not up yours, but, you know. Although I wouldn't look when the baby came out. They say they have a mirror. Do you want to see the baby?
Really?
And
I'm
you didn't want to watch that?
No.
God, just get this thing out of me and give me a Big Mac.
When you're watching that, because I was in the room when Terry had Reese and Kylie, when you're watching that, it's so surrealistic because even though you've seen it in TV shows or movies,
Alien.
Alien, when you're watching it right there with people you know, you go, well, this can't be. People don't just show up out of other people.
It's just so weird.
It is.
Well, thankfully, nothing came out of my colonoscopy.
That's good news. All right, that is good news. Let's talk television with you. Kurt Wagner, of course, from TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, this isn't on your list of topics, but I'm curious. I didn't get to see this last night, but I've been looking forward to it. This show, The Family, with Joan Allen and Andrew McCarthy, I think, is
also in it.
Andrew
McCarthy's in it, yeah. Zach Gilford from Evanston's in it.
Who's in it?
Zach Gilford.
Oh, really?
Former Friday Night Lights.
How about that?
It debuted, I believe.
Last night.
Last night was like the preview, and it moves to its regular time slot this Sunday with its second episode.
I have not seen it yet. Dylan, 13-year-old, said it's great.
Mysterious show about a family where a boy is missing from years and years ago. He shows up 10 years later.
It looks great.
The kind of thing most of us would enjoy. Is this worth seeing? Did you see it already?
Did I see the first three? I think I saw the first three, and I liked it. It's very, you know, mystery and secrets, you know, family secrets, and all these things keep popping up that, you know, are kind of shockers and stuff. But it's interesting because wasn't there a case like 10 years ago or something where some French kid...
Yeah, and when
like
the
somebody,
kid came
some
back,
kid was lost,
right, the question was, could this really be the right kid or not?
And it was a big bamboozle, I think.
It's all, you know where else it happened? On every soap opera that's ever been on television.
Probably so. And it's weird because you do wonder if it's the family thinks it is. Most of the family thinks it is.
Ted Martin was Ted Orsini, if you're an All My Children fan. Remember that?
Oh, I remember Ted.
Ted Martin came back, but we found out later it was Ted Orsini pretending to be
Ted
Martin.
Wait, was it Tad Martin?
Ted Martin, yeah.
Was Ted Orsini?
Was Ted Orsini.
Wow, you are a super fan.
I used to love the show. Used to watch it all the time.
Now, isn't this like that show that you watched too before? Like, was it called Resurrection?
Oh, where dead people kept showing up again?
Oh, it
That's
is different.
Different.
This guy, it is
this
different.
Guy wasn't
this kid
dead.
Was missing, like kidnapped. Went missing from a park. They were all at a park.
Yeah.
And when he was much younger, and his siblings were supposed to be watching him. And
don't give too much away.
Yeah, don't.
And the irresponsible, you know, there's like a older goof off sibling, and
always
a responsible older sibling.
There always
and
is.
And so it also sort of shows the family dynamics, what happened to all these people after he went missing too, you know, over the years.
This seems very dramatic for a television.
And the mom, Joan Allen, plays a politician.
Oh, she does. Yeah. Well, she's done that before.
Yeah, I mean, I think she, at the time of he went missing, was a councilman or something, councilwoman, and now she's running for mayor or something, or she was the mayor and is running for senator or something like
Interesting that she's cast in the role because it's almost reminiscent. She plays the grandmother in the movie Room. Again, about a kid that's missing. In that case, for 7 years, she's the grandmother in that. She's the mom with a 10-year-old kid missing. Yeah, somebody ought to look into Joan Allen. Everybody
she's
who
awesome.
She loves turns up missing.
There's a scene with her and Zach Gilford in one of the episodes that it's just sort of, you know, it made my skin
crawl.
My hair stand.
I gotta see
good.
It.
It
was just.
Good.
She's such a good actress.
All right. Last night was a big episode for the television show The 100. I've not seen The 100.
I've not even heard of it.
Well, if you're a sci-fi fan, you should really go back and watch it. I think they're on Netflix, the first two seasons. This is the third season.
Yeah.
It's about a... there's been an apocalypse on Earth, of course, which is everything these
days.
It's
always sad when that
happens. But there are these people on the ship in space that, you know, that are surviving humankind. That's like the last of humankind, supposedly.
It's like a Noah's Ark for people.
Yeah, yeah.
It is?
But they have very strict laws up there. So it's almost like a one and done. If you screw up, you're jettisoned.
They get rid of you.
Yeah, they just send you into space.
Oh, no.
But there's like this group of 100 kids, like sort of juvenile delinquents, who instead of doing that, they send them to Earth because it's you know, 100 years later or whatever after the apocalypse.
Yeah.
To sort of just see if, you know, well, they're criminals, we jettison them, but now we can use them to drop them on Earth and see if they survive.
Oh.
And then they can radio back and tell us Earth's inhabitable again.
Oh.
So it's sort of the kids' adventure, the 100's adventure on Earth for a while, and then things have happened throughout the seasons. But it's gone really far.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that the writers aren't afraid to just keep things moving. You know, like, okay, this happens. Now we're on. That makes this happen. You know, this new adventure going.
Yeah.
It's called The 100. Because you 100. Kind of been flying over it. And if I didn't see it in front of me, somebody texted.
The 100. Okay. It's on CW, but the first two seasons are on Netflix. So last night, a popular character died.
Oh, no.
Supposed to say this? Is this spoiling?
You don't say
who.
I'm not
saying
who. You don't say who. Okay. Was it Danny?
Yeah.
Was it?
But what I wanted to talk about was sort of the fan reaction to it, because it was crazy online. Like, there were death threats to the writers and stuff like
that.
They
love this character so much.
Yeah, and I would say this isn't even a regular cast member, but this character has sort of been in the forefront for a while and is the center of sort of a coupling that happened that everybody loves.
But Kurt, you know this, sometimes on TV they'll make it seem as though a character has died.
Oh, this one's gone.
This one's dead for sure. All right.
Because the actor is moving to Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh.
And was contractually obligated to that.
Oh.
But AMC
on the Tom Hartman show right after this.
AMC and CW reached an agreement that the person could be on this show for 7 episodes this season or
all
more.
Right.
But you know, it's just crazy the reaction and even though it's probably really good for the show, it's going to move it along to these other places and stuff. But you know, I guess that, you know, it's just TV deaths are just TV deaths.
Well, it's strange because we know the obvious, which is it's just somebody pretending on TV.
Right.
It's just a puppet show, and yet we become so ingrained in the characters and the storyline, as you pointed out, that people are furious that they've taken this person out of their
lives. And I mean, Game of Thrones has done it, 1,000 times already? But, you know, if you want to be outraged about something on television, try the debates.
Good point.
That did well rating wise.
Oh yeah, they have been. I mean, it's the
this one.
It's
I'm
the,
sure
it's the pinnacle of train wreck TV.
Yeah,
you know, right now.
But similar, the debates have become similar to reality television, because just like American Idol or The Survivor, each week, you know, you see 8 heads one week, and then 6 heads the next week, and then 5 heads the next week. So that's in common.
And now with the primaries happening, you are voting your people off.
Yes, you are.
It's just last night was, who cares about the size of hands?
Isn't that something?
That's why I watch Fuller House, and I'm enjoying it.
That's why. All right, let's do this.
And I don't know why I'm enjoying it. I really am enjoying it.
I wonder if there'll be a shocking death on there.
Sure there will. Of our sanity.
The ratings. It's just
you know,
renewed.
It did get renewed.
I know.
For another season.
Another season of full, even Fuller House. A quick break, then more with Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. If you have a question or a comment about your favorite shows or a show you don't like so much, 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. Of course, we invite your calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. We've got callers on the line that want to talk to you, Kurt.
All right, here we go. Kurt, this is Kevin. Kevin, Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Hi.
I just, you know, since it's tough to get a show going, one of my questions was that show Angel from Hell with Jane Lynch. Were ratings that bad that they yanked it after only a few episodes?
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall for that before it even aired. I think that it, you know, I think they had Jane Lynch and they thought, you know, she's bankable, this is going to happen, and it'll work, but it just didn't work. I mean, the show wasn't that good, actually.
Okay.
But
I thought it had some potential, that's all.
I mean, it could have, but yeah, you know, if they consider it a losing proposition, they're just not going to continue with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better to cut your losses quick.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Kevin. Now, there's another show that's kind of in the same vein, an otherworldly figure, and that's Lucifer. Is that show doing all right? Have you seen Lucifer?
I think it is.
Yeah?
It hasn't been renewed yet or anything, but it's still going pretty, I mean, Fox is still promoting it.
That's
crazy.
The devil or a version of the devil coming down and living amongst us.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's charming and funny. And
of course
and
he is.
Is deciding that maybe he should do good.
Oh, well, maybe. All right.
For a while. He's rebelling.
All right.
Is what the idea of that is.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's the Antichrist, if that's what you believe, that could happen. And he, you know, acts like a nice guy. I think I dated a couple of those in high school. Ruth is on the line. Hi, Ruth. How are you?
I'm fine. I wanted to know, I was just shocked to hear that The Good Wife is going to be canceled. Why? What happened?
Well, they didn't cancel it.
They didn't have any pre-warning.
They didn't cancel it. It's just discontinued. I mean, they're just done
with
it.
What does that mean?
The original producers had said that they were going to end after this season, and CBS honored their vision. They had always thought of it as a seven season series.
Yeah.
And CBS just honored their wishes and said, you know, we don't want to continue this without the original creators. And the cast was sort of in the same boat. And so it was sort of hugs all around and thanks for the good, you know, thanks for the memories type of thing. It wasn't really, you know, the show's not performing well, we're canceling it. It wasn't that kind
no,
of thing.
No, it's been doing great in the
right.
ratings, right, from start
right.
to finish.
But it was, yeah. You know, and it's true. I mean, if you don't feel, if your cast and your crew and even the network don't feel that it's going to be the same without the original producers, then why drag it on and make it bad and,
right.
you know, leave a sort of a bad taste in your mouth?
Yeah. It's too bad, Ruth. I know a lot of people love the show. It's awful.
Thank you, Ruth.
Try Madam Secretary to get your,
that's
your
in the
strong
same vein,
female character fix.
Right?
Yeah.
Madam Secretary.
Same night. Same
all right,
network.
Ray, you're talking about something I'm way into, and so is Bill, and unfortunately everyone else is. You had a question about something?
Yeah, I did. The People versus O.J. Simpson, I think, is the best thing on TV right now.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering how many episodes are there going to be?
I thought there were 10, right? Or am I thinking Making a Murderer?
It might be 10 or 13. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Well, excellent. Again, I enjoy it, you know, having lived through that time and followed the trial. I think it's great.
Who's your favorite on there? Is it John Travolta?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he's hilarious, actually. But, you know, if any of that's true, it's interesting to see the various personalities. So, again, I'm enjoying it.
And we did learn a couple days ago that the person who had the heart attack in the courtroom, that was not factual. That did not happen. He complained of chest pains after the opening statements
right.
that day. So, you know, it changes a little, but it's thoroughly
entertaining. There's
dramatic
license, but it is also based on a book
right.
by someone who wasn't in every single room when every single thing happened, and he heard it secondhand, third hand.
And they're promoting
from
it like crazy
people.
During that. If you'd like to buy the book,
right.
here's the website.
Right. So, you know, Marcia Clark has come out and said that, you know, that he had facts wrong in his book, and so therefore some of the facts are wrong in
mm-hmm.
the show. But, you know, if you sort of consider it just, you know, here's this interesting yarn, then
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Thanks,
Ray. The weakest character so far to me has been the guy playing O.J. He's
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's the whining juice.
Don't mess with the
exactly.
juice.
Yeah, I hear you.
Thank you, Ray.
Kurt, explain, because we all agree that it's hard to stop watching this, but we also all agree that it's really not good. It's really trashy TV. So what's in it for us to keep watching? We know how it ends.
I think it is good. I mean,
I think it's good.
I think it's good, and I think that you know, it has what your beloved Fuller House has, the nostalgia factor, even if it's sort of a warped nostalgia thing. But I think most of the acting is good. And, you know, even Travolta, who's sort of going over the top in his character,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And Johnny Cochran not going over the top enough, in my opinion.
Well,
Johnny
yeah.
Cochran was so, you know,
but
colorful.
I think he's so calculating. What I love is the back door, you know, what he's doing, like, quietly behind the scenes is so
he's
calculating and interesting.
There's a little sequence in last week's episode where Christopher Darden makes a motion to the court to not allow the N-word to be said in the court because he believes that the black jurors will not react well to the N-word. And then Johnny Cochran comes on, and I know this happened because I remember this happening, comes on and just scolds him and saying, this is an embarrassment. We can hear whatever word. You're not going to influence us by one word, good or bad, and stuff like that. And then he quietly, under his breath, says something to Darden. And I don't know if that happened in real life, but as bad as I think the show is, and I can't stop watching it, I thought that moment was beautiful, more from a courtroom standpoint of a way of saying a lawyer's going to do whatever a lawyer needs to do to win a case.
Right.
That was a pretty nice moment there.
Well, he's totally getting in his head, because was it last week's episode also where they took the tour of
and they
O.J.'s house?
Restaged everything?
And he restaged the whole thing to make it blacker.
That's illegal.
And even O.J. was outraged by it, because he got to walk through the tour, too.
I don't even
know
these kids!
He had another scene outside with Darden where he said, don't do Furman.
Right.
Let the white folks do Furman. And that, you know, he did it quietly under his breath. And it, I mean, it kind of looked like Darden was like, Yeah, he's right.
Chris Darden. Or is he playing me?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's
you don't
what
know.
You don't know. And I love the guy playing Chris Darden. I think he is just a great actor and doing a good job being Chris Darden. And Chris Darden was a decent guy through all of this,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he seemed to be.
Again, based on the book by so-and-so.
Based on the book by so-and-so. Thank you, Kurt. Yes. It's Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. We will see you in a week.
Sure.
Absolutely. A quick break, then some news. Kim Gordon will give you that, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Yeah, let's dance. Why not? Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and we're dancing, and you can dance along at 312-981-7200. Let's talk about tap dancing a little bit, which is what we saw last night at the Republican debate. We started the show by saying what a strange day it was in the world of politics. You had Mitt Romney disavowing Donald Trump on all fronts, just saying this is not a good direction for our party and this is not a good direction for the country.
Was there an actual quote of him saying, if you vote for this guy, we're going to hell in a handbasket? Because it sounds like you could paraphrase that.
It wasn't a direct quote, but yeah, that seemed to be the theme of much of his speech. I was watching it kind of in disbelief, saying I've never heard of anything like this, where the party's previous candidate just comes right out and says, this is not a good move. We need to find a different direction because this guy is not in our best interest. Then I was watching it on CNN, and within minutes of him finishing his speech, they put up on the screen on CNN, Donald Trump will speak in a few minutes. And my wife was with me, and I said, what does a few minutes mean? Because to me, it means two or three or maybe four. And 45 minutes later, Donald Trump did speak. But it said on CNN for those full 45 minutes, Donald Trump will speak in a few minutes. And I know that the game of news is everything's immediate, everything's happening now, and they didn't want anybody to go anywhere else.
And he didn't get to the point right away about Mitt Romney, because we were talking to Ryan Burrow, who was there, and it was pumped out. I found myself having trouble talking when I could hear Donald Trump in the background. It's like Pavlov dogs. You hear it and you want to just be quiet and listen.
And we tried to take it for a little while. And, you know, first he kicked people out.
Yeah.
He kicked out some protesters. I thought he would just, you know, go to the meat of it immediately, but he didn't.
What was the advantage? Because you could have played it either of the two ways. You could have just jumped right on it and said, hey, some things were just said and I've got something to say about that. Or, as you pointed out, he kind of took the route of, all right, how about let's talk about this? Let's kick somebody out. Let's talk about this. And then eventually got to the thing about Mitt Romney.
Because it looks like he's not bothered by it then. If he dresses it right away, then, you know.
Then you can tell it's getting to you.
Yeah.
I guess he's not dumb,
you guys.
I guess so. See, now, I thought in that interim, in that it was roughly an hour between Mitt Romney speaking and Donald Trump rebutting, and I guess he was on a plane, right, Kim? Is that what they're saying? He was en route? He was on a plane? Do we know for sure?
I'm sorry. Somebody was talking to me. What did you ask me?
Was in that time that passed, in the time that elapsed between Mitt Romney making his speech and Donald Trump showing up and making his speech, he was on a plane there, right?
He was in Maine, and it was very strange because, you know, we listen up here to ABC, and they're kind of giving the warning that he's going to come, and they kept saying, any minute Donald Trump, any minute Donald Trump. And then there was no Donald Trump, and then they kept, you know, coming back and telling us. So I don't know. Maybe he was just fine-tuning his jabs, or I don't know what he was doing, but it seems like he was there. There was just some kind of delay.
CNN mentioned more than once that he's on an airplane that has Wi-Fi, so you know he's watching this and getting a rebuttal ready. That was their version of it anyway. And I keep thinking to myself, normally you would have speech writers trying to spin this in the most positive directions. But in Donald Trump's case, I know he has guys that are speechwriters,
sure?
But I don't know that he uses them.
I think he has them write something just so he can look over it so he's not caught with nothing to say, but does what he wants anyway.
That seems to be more his flavor, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Anyway, the day was a strange one, starting out with Mitt Romney and then Donald Trump addressing it about an hour later. But then it comes time for the debate, for the Republican debate. And as you would imagine, and as the other debates have been, it wasn't so much about the issues as it was a slap fight between the candidates. And at some point, and it's been well documented, what the battle was about Donald Trump's hands and the size of his hands and what this could possibly mean about the rest of his anatomy. And he addressed it, saying that there's no problems in any other parts of his body. And that's when I realized this is also, it's all so surreal that there's no more rules anymore. Anything can happen.
It's like we're back in high school.
Doesn't it remind you of that?
At a class president election. I'm not kidding.
No, but even then, in a high school, some of the student advisors would call the participants aside and say, is this really what we want to do? Is this the way we want to behave ourselves?
They don't do that in high school, and they don't do that with him. He wouldn't have even won in high school.
All right. Flash forward to the very end of the event last night, at the very end of the debate, where this question is asked. And we can go through this just a little bit, because I thought in a night that was so surrealistic anyway, why shouldn't it end just this way? Listen to the last question, and then we'll discuss the answers from the four remaining candidates. This is last night from the debate. Listen.
Including an RNC pledge that all of you signed, agreeing to support the party's nominee and not to launch an independent run. Tonight, in 30 seconds, can you definitively say you will support the Republican nominee, even if that nominee is Donald J. Trump?
All right, stop it for just a second. All right. So again, the question, a very quick version of the question is, in 30 seconds, will you continue to support the party and the candidate? Now, this is after roughly 2 hours of these guys bashing each other's skulls in. Not so much Kasich, but the other three. For some reason, John Kasich has decided to play it as civil as he possibly can. But the other three,
smart move,
are slap fighting all throughout the debate. There's no love lost between these three guys. There's no question about that, not just from last night, but from previous weeks and months. These guys do not appreciate each other. They do not like each other. They're doing everything in their power to make you realize, do not vote for that guy. And then this question comes about. Question number one to you, is that a fair question at this juncture?
No.
It's not, is it?
It's absolutely not.
Because it sets them up to lie.
And puts them on the spot. I don't think it's a... That should have been pulled out, that question.
That's an awkward question.
Yep, completely.
All right, here are their answers.
Senator Rubio, yes or no?
I'll support the Republican nominee.
Mr. Trump, yes or
I'll
no?
I'll support Donald if he's the Republican nominee, and let me tell you why. Because the Democrats have two people left in the race. One of them is a socialist. America doesn't want to be a socialist country. If you want to be a socialist country, then move to a socialist country. The other one is under FBI investigation. And not only is she under FBI investigation, she lied to the families of the victims of Benghazi. And anyone who lies to the families of victims who have lost their lives in the service of our country can never be the commander-in-chief of the United States. Senator, we must defeat Hillary.
All right. First of all, let's go candidate by candidate. Did Marco Rubio handle that well, do you think?
I think he did. But then again, that's what they do. They turn the blame elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, answer a question without bringing anyone else into it.
Yeah.
I think he did okay.
If you were one of the remaining candidates, this is what I kept thinking last night, and I'm still thinking today. If you were one of those candidates, if you were Marco Rubio at this point, if you were John Kasich at this point, if you were Ted Cruz at this point, and that question is thrown at you, you're not going to win, but that guy, Donald Trump, is going to win. Do you still support him? Do you still support the party? My inclination would be to say no.
Yeah, but you have to support the party, don't you?
I guess you do.
Because then you're slamming every member of the party who's voting.
But didn't that already happen earlier in the day with both Mitt Romney and John McCain? Didn't those guys essentially say, hey, wake up. Is this the future? Is that guy your future? I think it would have benefited them more to be honest, and I know that's a weird concept during the debates, but to just flat out say, would I support that guy, the guy that I've been telling you for months is our worst possible option as a candidate? Absolutely not. I would have maybe thrown in the fact that if you don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, feel free, but will I give my support to the guy I've been telling you is a huge mistake? Uh-uh. What do they have to lose in doing that?
They're going against the party. They're making all the voters out there, like, it's slamming their choice. The public has spoken in the Republican Party saying we want him to be our nominee. And if you say, I'm not throwing my support behind that guy, you're ripping all of your members, your primary voters.
I respect that. But, Kim, let me get your answer first. Can you answer this? Same question. You're one of the three guys who's not leading right now, and they ask you that question. Do you give your support to the party? Do you give your support to Donald Trump? Would it hurt them to say, oh, I don't think so?
I think at this point, you know, people aren't stupid. They know everybody hates Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They know that, you know, nobody is in agreement here. The party is
not
so
everybody
fractured.
Hates him, guys.
Well,
no,
I'm saying guys up on the debate,
right?
The other candidates. Yeah. So it's like, why not be honest? Because everybody know they're standing there lying.
But what if they want to run or do something later on in their career, and then the Republican members say, this is a guy who turned against our party. I'm never going to vote for him.
But is anyone saying that about John McCain or about Mitt Romney? Is anybody on the Republican side saying, wow, he went against the grain? And
well, they're
it makes
done.
Us-
they don't, they're not going to, Mitt says he's not going to run again. I thought that's why he came forward, so yeah. He could be, you know, come in on the knight in shining armor on the white horse.
I mean, this stuff happens all the time on both sides of the aisle. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. She bashed Barack Obama when they were having all these debates, and then she turns around and agrees to be a Secretary of State.
But not to the extent of what we're seeing
right.
on the Republican side.
Right. Well, this is out of control.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been so happy to see one of those three guys said, if you've been paying attention to this campaign, I don't agree with anything Mr. Trump is saying. Will I throw my support his way? Not a chance. I would have loved to have seen that.
But that's like flipping off all the Republican voters. Here, somebody's maybe making it more eloquent than me. So all those votes don't matter, says 630. My vote doesn't matter. Republicans are going to take their ball and go home. If he doesn't pass muster, why did they let him in to start? Now you're telling school kids anyone can be president, but only if the establishment likes you.
Right, right.
That's not right.
Because at the very beginning of this, I don't think anybody on any side, Republican or otherwise, thought he stood any sort of a chance. I thought it was, I really did. It if not a joke, a novelty.
Yes, agreed.
Let's see what he's got. This will make for some interesting quotes.
So, Bill, are you just saying that, you know, political correctness has gone out the door anyway? So
oh,
why doesn't
yeah.
everybody just throw it out and?
Oh yeah, don't you
take
think?
The gloves off and let's all be honest here.
There hasn't been a shred of political correctness
right.
for months. So at
guys,
this point,
there are the majority of the people that are voting for him like him. So the people have chosen that has to be noticed.
Look how, I mean, it wasn't a lot of time devoted to this yesterday, but the size of his hands and other parts of his body became an issue in a debate for the presidency last night. That there actually time was spent on that last night. So at that point, you just go, okay, the rules we all learn, not just about politics, but about debating no longer apply anymore.
But what's the difference if they debate about the issues? I feel like all of them are speaking in mistruths anyway. Does it really matter what they say? Here's what I'm going to do if I'm president.
Right. It's all a fantasy anyway.
But I feel like all this rhetoric, you haven't heard anything from the Republicans.
We haven't heard
really
anything.
On the issues. It's all this just rhetoric and chopping each other's heads off. Yeah.
Kim, one of the first questions yesterday was, will this debate be more about the issues or more about fighting and name calling? And then they quickly jumped to fighting and name calling. Nobody ever said no. We, you know what? Let's do an issues debate. Let's see. They just went right to name calling and pointing. All right, your thoughts on this? We're at 312-981-7200. What do you think? You can give us a call or a text. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Let me quickly catch you up if you're just joining us. We're talking about the last question that was thrown to the candidates in last night's Republican debate, where they said, if you're not the nominee for the Republican Party, will you still support the party and support the man who wins, alluding to the fact that it would be Donald Trump? All three of the candidates, using different language, said that they would. I maintain that I think that they are lying, that they obviously don't agree with Donald Trump, and I know they have to play the party line to some extent, but I would have welcomed the fact if one of them just stood up and said, will I support Donald Trump? Uh-uh, that's not going to happen.
I was just telling you something off the air, and I don't know that they do support Donald Trump, but they're not going to say they don't because Rubio's going to be back. Cruz is going to be back. Kasich, I'm not sure about. He could come back to try and do something in the future.
He could, yeah.
And then the Republican Party says, you know, listen, you don't support the Republican Party, so we're not going to support you. And I feel they're lying I can't imagine they want Trump to win.
But if they're playing the game of crystal ball, if you're looking toward the future, let's say Trump is elected and his presidency is just a disaster, wouldn't it be benefit them to say, I'm the guy that stood up when you asked the question, do I support him? I'm the guy that stood up and said, no, that guy's going to be a disaster.
What if Trump wins and he's the best thing we've ever had here in the United States? I didn't get struck dead by that.
Trying to imagine
that
scenario.
But what if? Then you can't base your whole political future on the future. They want to run again, so they want to stick with the party and keep strong. And then I was telling you off the air, it's like I always questioned why Hillary stuck with Bill, and everyone was saying, oh, it was to push her career forward.
Right.
They're sticking with Trump to push their career forward, maybe.
Yeah. But isn't that in and of itself sort of tragic that you can't be honest to yourself or to anybody else? You have to only be thinking. Look at Chris Christie is a perfect example of this. This guy was all over Donald Trump, didn't like anything about Donald Trump. And then all of a sudden he sees an opening in the vice presidential seat and he's standing behind him smiling every time there's a picture.
So
of Trump.
Is that bad or is he smart for doing that?
I can't figure out if one of those is true, but I don't know which one.
Everybody lies.
Time will tell on that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I hear one more person tell me I can't vote for Hillary Clinton if I decide to because she'll be in jail, I'm going to throw up because she's not going to be in jail.
She'll be out by then?
She lies. These people lie. I mean, really, people say, I can't vote for Hillary because she's a liar. Who isn't lying?
It almost, Steve, makes us think that politics is dishonest.
That's a new phenomenon. I'm going to have to take some time to wrap my arms around
that. I hope that's
that.
Not the case. Boy, I hope that's not the case.
All right, can we take a break, come back and talk to Steve Bertrand and see what's coming up on the Winter's
like
Business Lunch?
Yes, yes. It's Spill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's part two of our Friday show. I'm Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder. We've got two more hours. If you want to call in or text in, 312-981-7200 is perfect.
If I can just tell you, I have got the fever and there's no cure.
For what do you have the fever and there's no cure?
I have spring fever.
Do you have spring fever right now? Yeah.
It smells like spring. Mm-hmm. I know we might get dumped on again, but you know
mm-hmm.
what? There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
It's sunny. It's Friday.
Supposed to be somewhere around 60 in the next couple of days, which is okay by me.
There was one year, I know spring break is coming up for a lot of schools, and there was one year that I did not go away, and my girlfriend Carla and I laid out in her very white, trashy backyard pool because it was 86 degrees while everyone else went to Florida.
Right. Didn't MTV host an MTV house party there one yes. of the years? I remember seeing you guys together there.
That's when MTV used to have videos.
Oh, you're going way back.
I know.
Going way, way back. Very quickly, I want to thank everybody, both here at the station and listeners who were concerned for me yesterday. I was off yesterday. A little bit of a medical scare. On my way into work yesterday, I nearly blacked out twice in the car, which is not a good idea. If you have the option to do that or not do that, check the box that says don't do that. Very, very scary. But everybody here on staff was very nice in getting me to a hospital. Everybody at Evanston Hospital was extremely nice and got me fixed up. And thank you for everybody who has sent notes of concern. I'm fine.
Thankfully.
Or the closest version to fine that I will ever be.
Really, that is a good point. Point well taken. Yes, because we didn't know what was going on yesterday. And, you know, you don't want to release information until we know what the outcome is.
Right. And Mitt Romney spoke about it. He called for a press conference, which seemed odd. I don't know why he would do that. I've never met Mitt Romney, but he spoke on it, so good.
All right. Well, can we talk about the political candidates in a fun way?
Yeah. Is there a way to do that?
You know,
how would we do that?
Saying who we're going to vote for and who sucks and who's an idiot and who's this and who's that and who's lying and who's going to be in jail for the
sure.
election. I have some shocking facts that you did not know about each candidate.
Oh, I would love some. All right. Shocking facts. Go.
Bernie Sanders.
I'm not shocked yet, but go ahead.
Here are some fascinating facts. While in college, and you may know these.
All right.
But some of them I didn't know.
All right.
While in college, Bernie was an organizer for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and marched for civil rights.
Yeah.
In 1963, Bernie Sanders took a bus from Chicago to Washington and took part in the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom.
I've seen footage of him that I think is here in Chicago
yes.
being very vocal during some rallies.
Yes.
A very, very young Bernie Sanders.
He didn't look that young, though, even then, did he?
Well, let's see. It would have been 50-some-odd years ago.
Still didn't look that young
no?
to me.
All right.
Hillary Clinton, do you want to know a little fact that you didn't know about her?
was married to a former president of the United States.
Well,
yeah, got rid of that one. I knew that one. So tell me something else about her. What else?
No, did you know that she's a Grammy recipient?
Yes, I did.
I did not know.
I did
you
know
would,
this.
I did not know that. In 1997, she won the award for Best Spoken Album for her book, It Takes a Village.
I did know that about her. I also know that she did some vocals with A Tribe Called Quest, and she was nominated for that album and did not win.
I hear she does a great Yoko Ono impression.
That's what everybody says about her. Yeah.
Another fact, when Bill Clinton was making $35,000 as governor of Arkansas, Hillary was making $100,000 a year from her law firm salary and corporate board fees.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but I could see that's, yeah, that makes sense.
She's a smart lady. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Marco Rubio, do you want to find out a little startling fact that you didn't know about him?
I know there's a swimming pool game named after him. Is that the fun fact?
Marco.
Rubio.
I got spring fever and I just can't shake it. Marco Rubio's first job was building bird cages for a company that bred exotic birds.
Now, why doesn't he mention that more often? I think more people would want him to be president if they knew that.
His favorite music? I wouldn't release this if I was him.
What is his favorite music?
90s hip hop and electronic dance music.
Is
can
it
you
really?
See him shaking a groove?
Well, I could see him listening to Hillary on A Tribe Called Quest now.
That's right.
It's all coming together.
He bought that album the first day it was released. That's surprising. I would not have guessed that about Marco Rubio.
No, me neither. I didn't know about the bird cages either.
No.
Was he in the bird cage?
Yeah, maybe a local production of the bird cage at the Burt Reynolds Dinner Playhouse in Jupiter, Florida.
Does he have one?
He had one. I think it's gone.
Really?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds had a dinner theater there.
All right, shocking facts you didn't know about each candidate. How about Jeb Bush?
What could you possibly tell us about Jeb Bush that we don't already know?
The kind of car he drives.
Oh, boy.
Can we guess?
Is it a four-wheeler?
Yeah.
Is it a four-wheeler?
Hummer?
Is it?
It's got to be a Hummer.
Is it?
No.
It's not?
Come on, look at him. Does he look like he'd be in a Hummer?
I'm going to say a Lincoln Town Car.
No.
No?
Bertrand?
Chevy Malibu?
Chevy Malibu?
That was a good guess. He drives a Ford Fusion.
Oh, I don't see him driving a Ford Fusion.
How does he fit in a Ford Fusion?
Well, no, you don't live in Florida.
Does his bumper sticker say, everyone in the family was president but me?
My other car's a Malibu?
Oh, that's funny. Donald Trump, you want to find out
yes.
a fascinating fact that we didn't know, a shocking fact?
I can't even imagine what it would be about Donald Trump. I thought we knew everything about him.
Well, I haven't read this yet because part of the fun of this radio show is learning something every day.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be news that we already knew.
What could it be?
Ooh. In between Trump's first two marriages,
yes.
it was rumored that he dated Anna Nicole Smith in the early 1990s. You did?
I did know that.
So
yeah.
he did date her.
I know it's always a rumor, and I don't remember, you know, Trump is very, he likes his picture out there, and so did Anna Nicole Smith, and I don't remember ever seeing a picture of them together, but I've seen a couple of lists of women that he's been romantically involved with, and her name has been on those lists.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
I feel
it makes
sorry
sense.
For her.
I mean, yeah, that's a tragic story
I
in every direction.
I watched her reality series too.
The one with her son, who's also no longer with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
All right. Shocking facts you didn't know about each candidate. I had forgotten about that. Ted Cruz, you want one?
Yeah. I had to think about if I wanted one about Ted Cruz or not, but all right. I'll take a fun fact that I didn't already know about him.
This isn't really shocking, is it? Currently, there's a lawsuit underway disclaiming Ted Cruz's eligibility to run for U.S. president since he was not born in America, but we've gone through this.
Everybody knows that. Have you seen him do voices? He does voices of Star Wars characters and cartoon characters. Have you seen him do any of these?
No.
You can find him fairly easy on the internet.
He did a whole Princess Bride scene,
I saw
think.
That. Yeah. I saw that. But then the other night, well, now more than another night, it's a week or so ago, I'm trying to remember who interviewed him. I want to say Anderson Cooper, and the last question was, we know you do a lot of cartoon voices and Star Wars voices. Can you do one? And he refused to do it. He wouldn't do it.
That's when you do it.
That's exactly when you do it. Everybody's already seen, or I thought almost everybody had already seen him do it. But he got a little shy there. Nah, I don't want to do one. But it would have been great if he did some.
Ted Cruz was actually born in Calgary, Canada in 1970. His mother, however, was a U.S. citizen and born in Delaware.
Shh, Trump might be listening.
Is there still a lawsuit? There isn't, is there?
Wait, is Delaware in the U.S. still?
Delaware is still one of the 50 states, yeah. Yeah. As of this morning, it was.
All right, well, this is off of kindofviral.com. So,
just kindofviral.com?
Yes. John Kasich.
Yes, what could we learn about him?
When John Kasich was just 18 years old, he wrote a letter asking to meet President Nixon, and it worked. He met Nixon.
Oh. All right, I didn't know that about him.
I don't know how shocking these are. How about just nine facts you didn't know about?
You know, Clinton has that picture of him meeting JFK?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work for Kasich. Here I am meeting Richard Nixon.
Right. It's not as exciting, I guess.
Ben Carson no longer in the race, so I should have read this before, but do we care?
Yeah, I'd love to know something more about him.
In 1987, Ben Carson separated twins that were conjoined at the back of the head. He led a 70-person surgical team and was the first in history to complete a surgery like this.
See, now that's impressive to me. I don't think any other president has separated anybody, any conjoined twins.
You got to keep them separated, as Hillary once sang.
So true.
So if he could put Rubio and Cruz together.
Yes, can he maybe meld people together the same way he can separate them?
Maybe they could beat Trump that way.
A two-headed monster.
Who attached me to Marco Rubio? Why am I attached to Marco Rubio?
I'm kind of liking being attached to Marco Rubio. Marco.
Rubio.
And Chris Christie, my last one.
Fun fact about Chris Christie? Sure. What do you got?
Know. He has an infinite love for Bruce Springsteen songs.
I so knew that.
And I bet you didn't know that Shaquille O'Neal endorsed Christie in 2013. And my follow-up question, did it matter?
Well, they have the same free throw shooting percentage, so it kind of makes sense.
Got to tell you, Chris Christie's better. He's more accurate. How can Shaq, for all these years, never make a free throw?
He made two or three, I think, over the years, but you would think without the net moving and nobody blocking him, it would have been an easier play. He just didn't seem to master that part of the game.
That's what you practice. It is a free throw.
I get it. It didn't occur to him that was an important part of basketball, so he wasn't very good at it.
See, we could have fun with the political
arena. We could have all kinds of fun with the candidates.
Arena.
I know. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then a lot more show. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Easter's coming. I'm seeing all the Easter stuff out and about. The Cadbury eggs are out there.
Yeah.
Does anybody really like those?
I enjoy the occasional Cadbury egg. You do not? You're not a fan of them?
My wife loves them.
Really?
Absolutely.
They're pretty good. In moderation, you don't want to overdo it, but once in a while, it hits the spot.
It's very goopy.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Got 'em goopy.
That's Dr. Got 'em goopy. Here's an Easter item, Wendy, that I don't believe we've seen on the market before, and I believe that this could revolutionize the Easter candy business. Are you familiar with the actor Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes, I am.
Tell me why you'd know Benedict Cumberbatch.
He was in a movie I saw once.
Yep, that's what he's famous for.
Come
on. In a movie you've seen once.
You know this.
You can do this.
He's got
rabid.
A crazy name. His fans are rabid.
Yeah.
And they have a funny name,
don't
they? We
don't know. The show's coming back very soon, I think.
What show?
He's on Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
he plays
yes.
the title character, Sherlock Holmes. Been in a bunch of movies. Academy Award nominated for last year. He was in Star Trek. He was the villain in the last Star Trek movie. The list goes on and on and on and on. And I think he's going to be in the new Star Wars movies. There's been rumors that he's going to play a character in the new Star Wars movies.
Greedo?
He will not play Greedo. That's not going to be him. But he's considered generally to be one of your finer up-and-coming actors. He's British. He's tall. People like him. Well, now they're immortalizing him, Benedict Cumberbatch, in chocolate. You can now buy what they call a Cumberbunny, which is Benedict Cumberbatch in the shape of an Easter bunny and dipped in chocolate. Does that appeal to you?
No.
You wouldn't have one of these?
Come on. It is so bizarre to see the big ears on him. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's disturbing.
We'll put a picture on our Facebook page if you've always said to yourself, I'd love to see what Benedict Cumberbatch would look like as a chocolate Easter bunny. Here's your chance. Jen Lindsay Clark. Actually, I'll show you the picture really quick. Just tell me if you agree or not. It looks as much like Will Ferrell than it does of Benedict Cumberbatch, doesn't it?
It does, but now I have to see a picture of Benedict Cumberbatch and Will Ferrell together? Because they don't look alike, but
no.
In that form, it does look like their love child or love bunny.
The same kind of wide, glassy, optimistic look in their eyes, don't you think?
Is that what you call it?
Yeah,
optimistic?
Optimistic. Jen Lindsay Clark, a chocolatier in the English town of Brighton, where I've been, by the way.
Hello.
I've been there. That's what
Why
they say
have you
to
been
you
there?
In Brighton. I felt like going to Brighton, so we went there. It was an amazing place. Has created a new product called the Cumber Bunny that features the British actor Benedict Cumberbatch's face with rabbit ears and a bunny's body, which he does not have, by the way. This is just for the
Will
purpose.
Will Ferrell does, though.
Will Ferrell does have a bunny's body. Benedict Cumberbatch, not as much of a bunny's body. Lindsay Clark's website describes the Cumber Bunny as, and I quote here, a delicious Belgian chocolate rabbit with a handsome face and a very tasty bottom. The dark chocolate Cumber Bunny, that's sexist, by the way, isn't it? Could be.
No.
What is it?
It's candy.
Sweetest. It's sweet. It's candiest.
Yes.
The dark chocolate Cumber Bunny sells for $70.84.
Oh, my gosh.
The white chocolate version of the hair razor will cost you $99. The white rabbit comes with an edible 22-karat gold bow tie.
Go ask Alice.
That seems like a bit much for a little piece of candy. Lindsay Clark admitted that she is hopping mad for the actor.
Oh, my God. Could we get one more pun in the story?
I think there might
Hair
be one more.
Was
I
in
think
there.
There's one more in here. There is. Everybody loves a bit of the batch. He's an interesting character, said Lindsay Clark. She's selling it. I don't know if the chocolate's good. I have no idea. But this lady really is selling it. He's a great actor. And over time, Wendy, we've seen some of our finest actors immortalized as chocolate Easter bunnies, haven't we?
No, but you have my thought bubble going crazy right now, who I would like to see immortalized in chocolate.
Anyone come to mind immediately?
Paul Newman.
Wouldn't he be good as a chocolate Easter rabbit? Wouldn't he?
You would eat a chocolate Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try saying no to that. You couldn't.
Those eyes, man.
Those baby blue eyes. He's a great actor and an English gent, and he's also making the most of his celebrity status by being able to put his political views across and making most of the moments, and that is a cool way. The cheeky chocolatier has been sweet on Cumberbatch for quite a while. Last year, she built a life-size chocolate sculpture of the actor. Lindsay Clark said she doesn't need to plan to send any of these Cumber Bunnies to Cumberbatch. I'm planning to send one over to his mum, but not to him, she said. He might think it's weird eating his own face. It is.
This woman is
she's a fan.
I guess.
And a chocolatier.
She's not sending it to him because, you know, they will find out where she is and she's been stalking him for how long.
Right. Right.
Oh, how about a chocolate Abe Vigoda?
Why didn't they make a chocolate Abe Vigoda?
I don't know why, but honestly, all I can think of right now is it chocolate Telly Savalas.
Yeah, that would be a good one. The chocolate Abe Vigoda, you'd have hair on it because of the eyebrows.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that's a deterrent.
Not
you don't
tasty.
Want that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. The news from Steve and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
These eyes cry every night for you.
Bill, you have two teenage daughters, right?
Yes, I do.
Do they roll their eyes a lot?
No, not often. Few and far between, but I know when I get the eye roll that something bad has happened.
Doesn't that just irritate the heck out of you when a teenager, girl or boy, but I guess mostly girls, roll their eyes? Aren't you so offended?
A little bit. I'd prefer that it not happen, but it happens sometimes.
You're going to be startled to find out that sometimes that's not exactly what they're trying to do. On the line with us right now, Dr. Lisa Damore, a psychologist, best-selling author, teacher, speaker, consultant, and eye-rolling expert.
Hi,
Lisa. How are you?
I'm good.
Is it just teenage girls that roll their eyes? Because I know I was a teenage girl, and Bill, you just rolled your eyes.
I did
do that intentionally? Because when I'm telling you, when somebody rolls their eyes, you just want to stop what you're saying and go home.
But Lisa, when I do it's because I'm having a seizure. I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm having a convulsion.
Okay.
So is it just girls?
As far as I know,
Well, as far as I know, there's no empirical research measuring eye-rolling rates, boys versus girls, but I actually did a fair bit of informal research on this, and what I heard is that it's mostly teenage girls, you know, that it is a gesture that girls have pretty much cornered the market on. I think that boys often have the same feelings that inspire eye-rolling in girls, but I think they might use a different way to express those same feelings.
Lisa, when you're a teenage girl and you're rolling your eyes, do you want to say whatever, or is it just implied that you're thinking whatever when you're rolling your eyes?
You know, I think that we have a lot of different meanings that are probably behind when girls roll their eyes. And I know that the basis of our conversation today is a piece that I wrote for the New York Times about all of the different reasons that girls roll their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that adults are just usually offended in kind of a reflexive way. But my experience of working closely with teenage girls is that eye rolling means a lot of different things to them depending on the context. So one of the examples I think that is very prominent is if a girl's upset or overwhelmed or something's really bothering her and she doesn't want to get into it, if a parent brings it up, girls might roll their eyes as a way of kind of shaking off the conversation. You know, and it's very easy for an adult to think, you know, why are you rolling your eyes at me? I'm just trying to ask a nice question about how things are going with your friend Julie, who we haven't seen for a while. Whereas the girl might be thinking, I don't want to talk about that. And if we talk about that, I'm going to get upset. So I'm going to distract you and distract myself, you know, by just looking the other way. And
so but it's not an intentional thing. Like, they're not trying to say, I'm going to roll my eyes so my parents think, you know, I'm bothered by them. It's more of a reflexive thing.
I think often for girls it is reflexive. I think often it's a way of sort of expressing, you know, stop, or I don't want to go there, or, you know, I'm not in agreement. And they just do it, I think, almost somewhat automatically without thinking, you know, here I'm going to give you a hard time. Here I'm going to do something that I know is going to bug you. But I think often adults receive it as an insult, you know, or receive it as a rude gesture. And I think sometimes, of course, that is what it is. You know, I mean, girls are not dumb, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they know that they can non-verbally do something that's very rude. And sometimes that's on purpose. But what I think is that much more often it's a reflex that the girl is using to serve a different purpose that is not about offending a grown-up.
Lisa, here's why that's interesting to me. It seems that that motion, the motion of rolling your eyes, takes a little effort. Like, it wouldn't just happen naturally. I mean, I respect what you're saying, that it's just they're not going out of their way to do it, but it just seems the act of doing it takes some thought process to make it happen.
I think it does. I think occasionally I think it can be reflexive. You know, I was talking with a bunch of teenage girls about this, and they said, oh, you know, sometimes if you're in the back of the car with your friend and your parent is going on and being weird, you can kind of look at your friend and roll the eye as a way of sort of saying, you know, isn't my parent silly? And again, it's fairly gentle. It's fairly benign, you know, and it's deliberate, but it's also really easy and handy for girls. But I think there's other times when a girl may do it very, very deliberately, but still it's not meant to provoke the parent. It may even be for herself. You know, so another example I can think of is if, you know, if a girl is, you know, if it's cold outside and she was going to get all bundled up and then her mom says, hey, put on your warmest coat. You know, the girl might turn and privately to herself roll her eyes.
Right.
As a way of being like, oh, okay,
I
mom.
I would not have thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and it's her own kind of between her and her way of saying, all right, I'm not going to get into it with my mother, but I'm going to express even between me and me that I didn't really need to hear that.
I think when we were growing up, I probably didn't roll my eyes as much as I said, duh.
Right.
You know?
That comes in handy.
Seriously. And then you are intentionally trying to offend the other person. Bill, when we were first introducing Dr. Damore to the show, you said, does it go hand in hand, an eye roll with the term whatever? Because I know if I'm trying to make a point with someone and they're just not hearing me, I find myself rolling my eyes in the way of saying, I give up.
Yeah.
So is that a way too?
I think it can absolutely mean whatever. You know, I think, but I actually think we could come up with five different things it means. It can mean, you know, go away, I don't want to have that conversation. It can mean, I think you're being silly and I'm just going to give you a little poke. It can mean, I already knew that and I didn't need to hear it. It can mean, I'm not agreeing with you, but I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I mean, I think that depending on the moment and the context, it can be deployed for a lot of different reasons. And I think that one of the things that I'm most interested in are these very sort of subtle parent-teenager interactions and unpacking how complicated they are, because I think they are complex. And I think we all want to understand our teenagers, and we all want to make sense of our teenagers. And I will say, you know, my experience as an adult and as somebody who takes care of both adults who have teenagers and the teenagers themselves, adults tend to take teenagers more personally than they need to.
You know, and I'm never able to do this, but I know that sometimes when my kids are getting on my nerves, I'm not as nice as I should be. And that's where, you know, we are probably way too honest. And eye roll is kind of a nice way of not getting into it, as you mentioned. But then I think to myself, why don't these girls just say, listen, I don't want to talk about that right now. Use your words instead of an eye roll. But words can hurt. And I had learned that when you're dealing with a problem with one of your kids, pretend it's the neighbor's kid. Because even something as simple as like, oh my God, you shook the ketchup and it squirted all over the kitchen. I would say it like that to my kid. Mm-hmm. But if the neighbor kid was over, I'd go, oh, no big deal. Okay. Let's just clean that up.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes in parenting, we're really getting it right. And sometimes in parenting, we wish we could have a do-over. And I am definitely not a psychologist who wants parents to feel like they have to get it right every day and every time.
You know, we're not going to.
It's not human. And the other thing that I think is really interesting is there's a lot of benefit in fixing something that didn't go well, right? So if you freak out about the ketchup, which of course we do at the end of a long day, and, you know, I mean, I certainly have been there myself, there's actually a real benefit to going back later and saying, hey, kiddo, you know how I kind of hit the ceiling about the ketchup? Like, I owe you an apology. You
nice.
Know, that wasn't
good.
Fair. That was out of line. You know, I had a very long day. I took it out on you. I'm sorry. You know, that is actually relational money in the bank that, you know, we sometimes underestimate the power of fixing stuff as a way to build a relationship.
Absolutely.
Is it okay, Lisa, if you catch your daughter or son rolling?
Yeah, somebody just texted and said my 12-year-old twin boys do it all the time.
Yeah, it's not just girls.
Yeah.
It may be slightly more prevalent. But is it okay to call them out on it and say, if you spot that, hey, don't you roll your eyes at me, Deanna, even though neither of my daughter's names are Deanna? I don't know why. That's the part that is confusing is I call them that and it's not their name. But is it okay to call attention to the fact that you saw them do it, or do you just
or to say that's rude if that's an intentional eye roll? Can you say, hey, come on, man?
Absolutely. I mean, if it's meant as an insult, I actually think it's really important to say, you know what, that's pretty rude. You know, if you've got something to say, I hope you'll just say it. You know, I mean, I think that that's an important thing to say, because when teenagers are being rude and nasty, they know it and we know it. And if nobody says anything, I think it actually makes them pretty uncomfortable. You know, I think they're expecting the adults to act like adults. And when we don't, I think it makes them ill at ease. So if it is meant as an insult, I think absolutely you say, hey, you know what? You got something to say. You can say it in a more mature way than that.
Dr. Lisa Damore on the line with us. Go ahead. Back to you.
But I don't think we should always assume it's meant that way. You know, I think sometimes you can really tell that's the intention. But if you see it and you don't know what it's about, I think you can either just let it go, right, not make a big deal of it, everybody carry on, or you can say, hey, what was that? What's going on? You know, and keep it light and be curious, but not necessarily throw down about it.
You could have given the same advice during the debates last night, Lisa. I don't know what you were doing, but that would have been solid advice all night long last night.
Don't even get me started.
Right.
Now, and every parent, you know, has gone through this, and this is their own mantra. Oh, you got to pick your battles. And you do have to pick your battles.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I think about with parenting is that all of the research we have tells us that it basically comes down to having warmth and having structure. And that's really what makes for good family life and healthy kids. And if you have so much structure, if you have so many rules, if you're so reactive to your kid that there's no warmth at all, you've gone too far in one direction. You know, and if you're so forgiving and so kind and let everything go by that there's no structure and it's all warmth, well, then you've gone too far in the warmth direction. You know, but I think we should be trying to find a middle line as much as we can.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lisa Damore, spelled like of love in French.
It is.
Your book, Untangled, Guiding Teenage Girls Through the 7 Transitions into Adulthood. I believe you had some questions about...
I wanted to know about numbers 1, 3, 4, and 7. I know that seems unusual, Lisa, but that's just the way
right
I am.
Ahead.
All right.
Would you like me to name 1, 3, 4, and
no,
7?
No, you don't need to do that. Okay. You don't have to do that. But really quickly, kids will grow out of this at some point. At some point in your life, you go, I don't need to do that as much anymore, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think adolescence is a very stressful developmental phase. There's a huge amount happening in a very short period of time, a ton of growth. And, you know, we shouldn't treat it like it's pathological, but it is stressful.
Yeah.
And I think what's really helpful, and the reason I wrote my book, was to try to bring order to some of that chaos and to help parents appreciate that a lot of what feels personal and it feels like, you know, their teenager's doing things to them is actually a teenager finding their way through the many, many tasks that come with being a teenager.
I love sometimes when my teenage boys do something and my husband will just go, they're teenagers. And I'm like, but that's not an excuse. And then I think back to when I was growing up and nothing, it was just, we were. It wasn't like you were just a weird teenager. I was telling Bill this off the air. If I had a boyfriend or something and we broke up, my mom would say something like, oh, good, he was a jerk anyway. It was, and it's such a different time now where parents will actually say, oh my God, are you okay? I think we are totally communicating with our kids much more than our parents did.
I think that parents have been made to feel like they've got to get it right all the time.
And a lot of pressure.
Be very present. Yeah, I think, and I think really, I think there's so many ways to get it right. I think you can mess up, and as long as you go back and try to fix it, I think that's fine. I think you can mess up some days and you don't fix it. You know, family life is big and complicated, and it goes on for a long, long time. And I think as long as parents are willing to take their teenagers seriously and reflect on their own shortcomings and be honest about them, you know, things usually go pretty well.
Dr. Lisa Damore, you can go to drlisademore.com, spelled D-A-M-O-U-R.com. And the book, Untangled, Guiding Teenage Girls Through the Seven Transitions into Adulthood. If I ever have a girl, I'm going to read it.
Not bad.
Well, apparently a lot of it applies to teenage boys, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. Have
Thank
a great
you
weekend.
For me.
Absolutely.
You too.
All
Very
right.
Interesting.
That's the, it is.
Quit rolling your eyes.
I can't stop. Once I start, you know, I can't stop. A little bit of a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I find it very ironic that we were talking about eye rolling and you were goofing around rolling your eyes and then you must have touched your eye with your finger. And what'd you have for lunch?
I had Caribbean food for lunch. I had jerk chicken and it's really hot and spicy. And now my eye is completely popped out of my socket. It's, don't look directly at me because it's not pretty.
Do you remember, I don't know if they have them now in workplaces. They used to, the eye washing stations.
Yeah, where did those go?
We don't
the
even.
What?
You
they
don't
had,
remember that?
I do remember this.
They have those in like laboratories.
No,
I mean,
no. It was
really?
Everywhere. There's usually a first aid kit that's in all the radio stations I've worked at, except this one, actually. There would be a first aid kit adhered to the wall, and you'd open it up, and there'd be nothing in it because everybody, you know, took Band-Aids and stuff and alcohol and
never
put
replaced
it. Yes,
them. Yep,
ever.
I know.
And then there was an eye washing station. Am I imagining this?
No, I've worked in a couple places.
We worked at the same place several times.
Yeah. So that's probably why. But I never used it, but I always thought it's good to know it's there if I ever need it. But
you could have used it today.
Up until today, I've never needed it. But yeah, the remnants of jerk chicken were on, I guess, on my fingers. And now one of my eyes is going to have to be removed because I can't see. It's really hot.
Is there something?
I'll only roll one eye the rest of the show.
That is just so, it really just irks me when someone does that. Or Jim has just figured it out now. Now he just puts his earbuds in.
Oh, he just doesn't listen?
He's taking the dog out and he's like, I can't hear you, just so you know.
Did you reach a point, because you admitted when you were a kid you would from time to time roll your eyes if your mom said something you didn't agree with. Was there a time, a point in your life where you just went, I don't need to do this anymore?
No, I still do it.
You still do it.
I don't, and I think mine is just a sign of defeat. Like if I'm trying to talk to somebody and they don't see it my way, I don't need them to see it my way, but I just get frustrated and then I'll go, ugh, whatever. I do the sigh too. I'm good at the sighs now. I think
Can
that,
I hear that? What would that sound like?
Ugh.
Yeah, I've heard you say that.
I do. The eye rolling, I think, transforms into sighing as a teenage girl grows into a woman.
I guess so. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There is a little bit of that. I don't remember doing it much as a kid. Every
You're
once
a boy.
In a while. Yeah, is that what it comes down to, I guess? Yeah.
I think so. A lot of times, girls are dismissed for their opinion. Not so much anymore, but, you know, I grew up on a block where there were all guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play flashlight tag at night. I mean, there was a whole group of fun kids.
Did you grow up in a men's prison? Why were there all boys? Why weren't there any girls in your block?
Because, I don't know, they didn't ask me when families moved in. It was just a bunch of boys.
You would just think the law of averages, there'd be a girl or two besides yourself.
They were too girly. I didn't like them.
You didn't need them, all right.
I hung out, and, you know, my brother was athletic, and we'd play softball at the park.
Yeah.
We would play flashlight tag. My sister sometimes played, but not too much.
It was usually just you.
And I had twins down the street that were my best friends. I was a little bit of a tomboy. I know that shocks you.
I'm shocked by that, yeah.
But it just seems like, you know, hey, we're going to ride mini bikes. Okay, I have an idea. Why don't we put streamers on the handlebars and they would dismiss me?
And you think that's because you're a girl?
Is that why?
Not because of the streamers on the mini bikes?
That's an exaggeration. But even like in a clubhouse or something, it's like, oh, you know, maybe I could get a rug to
sure.
make things
okay,
look nice. And they're like,
that's too
seriously?
Mm-hmm. All right. The thing I tried for a while was I would say something. If my mom or dad would say something, this is when I was in grade school, that I didn't agree with. I would say something under my breath. I would try that for a while.
Like brick from the middle?
No, not in it. Not a one. I wouldn't just repeat one word. Like his thing is he just focuses on one word.
One word. Yes.
I would just like they'd say something. And if I didn't agree, I go, okay, well, that's the way you want to play it.
You
and
still
go, what?
Do that. You
say
do
what?
That to me?
I do that to you.
But see, we all have a way of, and it's not even, I'm not being mean. Like if I sigh, it's just, I'm kind of exasperated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause, and
it's
you
a desperation sigh.
Kind of. And
is
it's
that what
like,
it is?
Because you're not going to change anybody's mind on politics, religion, or a clubhouse, evidently.
I don't think so.
Or mini bikes.
No.
So you just
hey, boys,
like,
let's have a bake sale in our clubhouse. Did you try that?
Do you know how much they would like the bake sale? They wouldn't buy anything. They would just eat it. But you don't think they would like cooked items like cupcakes and cookies in their clubhouse?
I'm sure they would.
Yes.
Oh, just go ahead and laugh.
Yes. What did you do when they pulled the Playboys out? Did you say, boys?
We can't
I looked
have this.
At them with them. I was amazed by that stuff.
Us
seriously.
Too.
I didn't have them yet. So I was looking at them. I'm like, wow, those can be beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. How come no one can talk now? Jeez.
We were talking under our breath.
Yeah, all right.
We're rolling our eyes.
Close our eyes.
All right, a quick break, because it's so needed, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you so much, Steve. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder.
Did you just whistle?
I didn't whistle. My microphone made it. When I moved it, it made like a mouse noise.
I thought you were trying to capture someone's attention.
When you want to capture someone's attention, just whisper.
What's that from?
That's from a cologne commercial, isn't it?
Was it? It wasn't Winsong because that stays on my mind.
Right.
Anjali was bringing home the bacon.
Yeah. I don't remember which one.
Do you want to capture someone's attention?
Attention, just whisper.
Whisper.
So if you're ever being attacked out in the street somewhere, just go, I'm being attacked. Help me.
What the heck perfume was that?
Was it a perfume or a men's cologne? It must be a perfume, right? It's got to be.
Sorry.
If you want to capture someone's attention, was there a perfume called Whisper? Did they make that for a little while?
I think it was a cologne called E.F. Hutton.
E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, Steve. Wendy, we'll look it up and we will have we'll have your answer within moments.
Tangent should be my middle name.
Was it Tangent perfume? Was that what it was?
Nuance Cody perfume.
Oh, right,
Nuance.
Right. That was it.
All right, thank you. That's all I needed to know. I can now have a weekend.
That's fine. It's so funny. You already know this about me. I'm now, if I'm stuck on something, I won't Google it because I don't want that part of my brain to shut down. Because I'm sure that at some point, with Google so handy, we'll just lose the ability to remember stuff, like the word remember, like how to pronounce the word remember.
I agree with you. And I like doing that with you because then it turns into a little contest as to who can remember it first.
Yeah.
But when you have when you're on the air, we can't exactly say, you know, hey, we'll get back to you when we think of it.
I know for that purpose, I guess you should still Google stuff. But I can't tell you how many times a day now I'll go, what was that guy's name who was in that? And I'll go, you know what? Until I remember it, I will not Google it.
Remember the phrase, I wonder? We don't wonder anymore.
Nobody does. They just look it up.
I Google.
Although, did you ever figure out who played Charlie Chan? Because this has been driving you nuts for two weeks now.
We're just going on the 1 week mark. I think it was a week ago today.
It seemed like it was 2 months.
Somehow Charlie Chan was mentioned. You know what it had to do with? It had to do with minorities getting roles in movies. Like instead of a part going to the actor or actress that should play it according to the book, Hollywood has a way of giving white actors the role. And somebody called up and said, yeah, like the old Charlie Chan movies. And I'm in my head, I couldn't remember who played Charlie Chan. And it's now a week, and I still can't remember it. But I'm not. I can't Google it. I got to remember it.
He had three names or something. You said.
Yeah, don't Google it. I want to.
I want to force myself. Again. You did this last Friday.
I know. I have to force myself to remember it. But you know what I mean, right? At some point, it's just so easy to Google stuff that the pathways we use in our brain to remember stuff will just shut down. And I don't want that to. That I don't want that to happen.
Just do it.
No.
Who is it?
I'll think of it at some point.
Who's Just Do It?
Nike. Right? All right.
Think different.
I don't remember.
Steve? Kevin what? Think different? Charlie Chan?
No, that's not the same. That's separate.
Why did he say that?
He just wanted to say Charlie Chan.
Apple.
Oh, yeah, it was Apple. All right, here's what I wanted to discuss with you for just a little bit. I know we've talked about Donald Trump a lot. I get that, but it's the number one story in the country right now. Donald Trump has dominated the headlines quite a bit. And what happens invariably is people get so upset, and Trump isn't the first one to elicit this kind of emotion, but people start to say, you know what, if that guy's elected president, I'm leaving the country. I'm going to go somewhere else.
They don't mean it, though.
But people said that about Barack Obama. People said about George Bush.
But they never leave.
That's the point.
Everyone lies. That's the new book I'm writing.
Are you going to write it?
Poops, the sequel, Everyone Lies.
We heard from Alec Baldwin years ago. If this happens, I'm leaving the country. I'm going to go to Canada. Alec Baldwin still lives here. Ted Nugent said years ago, if Barack Obama's president, I'm either going to be dead or I'm going to be in jail. Well, he's not dead and he's not in jail. Two more celebrities, Wendy, have said that if Donald Trump is the president of the United States, they're leaving the country.
Was it Charlie Chan?
The actor who played Charlie Chan said
Could you talk to these listeners?
Are they going
to
tell me who played him? I don't, because I want to know it on my own.
Well, they're calling. You can't. I want to know it on my own. We want to solve your problems.
I know, but I want to remember it on my own at some point.
It's not going to happen. You're making me whine. Now I'm going to get texts about that.
All right, take their calls, but I'm going to cover my ears because I'm not. I need to remember it for myself.
They want to please you. They are calling
to have
a little bit of camaraderie with you and say, "Oh, poor Bill.
They're givers, Bill."
Yeah, they want you to have a weekend without thinking about who played Charlie Chan.
All right.
Instead, look the other way and see if these are the right names.
You'll be thinking all weekend about how you couldn't remember it on your own.
Now, there were several actors. You know this, right? There were several actors who played Charlie Chan.
We've got several listeners with several. Don't look.
I'm not. All right. I don't want. Can I cover my ears?
No, let them tell me? You.
All right.
And you know what? Because everybody's sick of
Donald
Trump.
But I'm letting my brain down, though, aren't I? To some extent. I don't want my brain to shut down. It's all I have, Wendy. I barely have that. I only have a little bit of that left.
Is this Sydney? Hello?
Sydney?
Hi. Yeah. Sydney Toiler was one of the actors.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is that the one you were thinking
It's not
about?
The one I'm thinking of, but he did play Charlie Chan in several films.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is like what everybody wants to know. Everybody's talking about Trump. Who else is talking about Charlie
Just
Chan?
Just us. We're your Charlie Chan channel.
Charlie Channel. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Excellent.
We're going crazy.
Earl Biggers.
Now, that I didn't know. When did he play Charlie Chan?
It was.
Think about the person.
God, if anyone has just tuned in the radio.
The person who's never heard the show before, and it's their first time, and that's what we're talking about.
Think about the people who never hear the show again.
And, you know, another famous story about how a white guy played an Asian person was in the TV series Kung Fu.
David Carradine.
That's right.
Played Kane. Bruce, yeah.
They said that Bruce Lee, who was up for the part, looked too Asian.
How about that, to play Kane? Although the character of Kane, if I remember correctly, was supposed to be both Asian and American, right? Wasn't he? Didn't they explain that in a few episodes?
I don't know, Grasshopper. Why don't you snatch this pebble from my hand?
I think he was.
And the other thing?
Yeah.
Christmas Tauntaun rocks.
Christmas Tauntaun does rock.
Oh, right. Thank you. Yes, I sang a version of it. Thank you, Bill. We got to hook you guys up, and you can go out to lunch, and I'll come with you.
Look at all the phone calls from people who want to talk about Charlie
Chan.
Can
I just tell you? Yeah. No one wants to talk about Donald Trump anymore.
Is that true?
I am hijacking the show with a Charlie Chan. I'll take Charlie Chan to block, Lynn.
Yes, it's Warner Oland.
Warner Oland is one of the guys. Now, There were two names I was thinking of, and that's one of them, is Warner Oland played Charlie Chan.
He played Charlie Chan in, I think, 16 movies.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Chan.
Kohler, and there was another man, George Kuwa, K-U-W-A. He was one of the original ones. But Warner Oland was the one who I remember playing in all the 1940-something movies.
He might have been the best of the Charlie Chans.
I think he was.
All right.
He was really good.
You know your stuff, Lynn.
Well, it's because I'm looking at it.
Oh, you looked it up. That's
you won't let me look it up,
I
Lynn.
Knew who he was, though. I knew Warner Oland, but I just wanted to see how many others, because other people were calling up. But,
he
was, I think, the most popular one.
I think you're right.
Lynn, have a great weekend. Do you have spring fever yet?
And Bill, I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, you're very kind. Yourself. Thank you. I will do my best.
I love you guys. I love both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Lynn. Take care.
Thanks, Lynn. See, people want to help you, but they're not helping you the right way, because I think you've imagined a name that you're not coming up with.
There is one more guy, and I'm thinking about from I'm trying to remember what the movies were that he would have been in, because Charlie Chan was used quite often in the 40s, and then of course we had, do you remember the cartoon Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan?
Yes, I do.
Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan, that was the theme song, or a little bit of it. Anyway.
I really, is there one N in Chan?
Chan is okay. Spelled with one N.
All right. It's still not the one you're looking for, though, is it?
No, there's another actor, not Warner Oland.
Three men played Charlie Chan.
No, way more. There's one in the serials, several in the movie series, and then they did like made-for-TV movies and stuff. Didn't Peter Sellers play him in Murder by Death? Wasn't he Charlie Chan?
I think so. I think you're right. All right, well, we'll find out about the Charlie Chan family tree.
Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan. Why don't they bring that back? They've brought back X-Files. Why can't they bring back Charlie Chan and the Chan Clan?
I don't know, but we're giving out wrong information. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
The one guy that called up and said Earl Biggers played Charlie Chan is dead wrong. Earl Deer Biggers was the author of the Charlie Chan.
Is that what you're thinking about?
But that is true. That's why I didn't remember him playing Charlie Chan. He was a writer, that's right.
Yes, he was the author of the Charlie Chan novels. And then, of course, Warner Oland played Charlie Chan, and Sidney Toler. And then Monogram Pictures picked it up in the late 40s, and Roland Winters played Charlie Chan.
Yeah, and they were all good, right? I mean, I remember them all being convincing, right?
Right, and then there was a half-hour Charlie Chan TV series with J. Carroll Nash.
That's the one. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Dave?
Oh, okay.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Dave, I have got to give you something. Do you want a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show that's going on? It's awesome. At Navy Pier. This has been bothering me for a week, and he wouldn't let me look it up,
it's
so you
Jake
have just
Carroll
saved
Nash.
The day.
It is Jake Carroll Nash.
Is that
Nash.
The one you'd right. see on Channel 9 on Sunday
yes.
mornings?
Okay. Yes, with number one son, right?
Right, my number
yes.
one son.
Yeah,
yep.
right.
Yep.
Dave, hang on. We'll set you up. We can set you up with a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show March 12th through the 20th at Navy Pier. With more than 20 life-size gardens, how-to workshops, instructional seminars, you can make a topiary tree that looks like Charlie Chan. Buy tickets and get information at chicagoflower.com. And you know what? Throw in a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, too. You can call 1-800-LOU-TO-GO or go to loumalnati's.com. I couldn't take another weekend
Dave, I know. I apologize. Dave, you're a genius. Thank you so much for helping me.
All right. You hang on. And John DeCasse is on the line
with us.
Oh,
he is?
Hi, John.
Hey, hello.
What's up, John?
You know what? What's up, John? Yeah. There's only two things I know anything about, and Charlie Chan is like one of my favorite things.
Really?
More than the Steve Cochran show?
Yes.
Uh-oh, he said it on the air.
I heard him.
Yes.
What knowledge would you like to share about Charlie Chan with us?
Well, actually, that gentleman knew everything that I knew, except that Warner Oland was born in Sweden.
Yeah.
And I'm not reading this. I'm in my car.
Yeah.
So this is how good I am. And Sidney Toler was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Roland Winters was younger than number one son.
He was. That's weird.
At the end.
Yeah.
But you know what's really funny is that I bought the entire collection for $230, and today all of them are available on YouTube for free.
Oh, how about that? A wise investment then, John, wouldn't you say?
That's what I thought. Who knew with cash would take off?
Nobody
so
knew.
I should have hung on to that as well.
John, was there ever an episode, you know how on Doctor Who they did the seven doctors where all the doctors were in it together? They never did that with all the Charlie Chans, did they?
No, they never did. They never did. None of them were in the same together. They all died, and that's why the next one took over.
Yeah, like the bailiffs on Night Court.
Can we get back to the radio show already in progress?
Yeah, sorry.
That would be good. Yeah, why didn't you guys call me? This
sorry,
is ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
Mistake.
Thank you, John. But it just shows you.
I know.
That, I mean, really, we'd rather talk about Charlie Chan and who played him than what's going on with
Donald Trump.
Yes. And we have to take a quick break, and then we're going to meet someone. Kevin has to go meet someone out in the lobby because there is a listener who is bringing us a present.
A very caring listener has come to our aid.
How about this? Did you see what's going on?
I did see.
All right. Let's meet her after this.
All right.
It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We have been waterless for quite some time here at WGN Radio, and I'm just a little embarrassed about it because when we have a guest who's not used to being on the radio, sometimes they say, hey, do you have any water? And what do we say?
We say, sorry, we do not have water. A week ago, we had all the actors on who played Charlie Chan over the years, Wendy, and each of them were so parched, and there's nothing we could do for them. It was a sad, sad moment.
So, Janine, you just walked up to the Allstate Showcase window and said you held up a case of water, and you're bringing us water?
I did.
Look at what...
That's the kindest gesture.
All the time. Oh. You've got a cold. You need to be hydrated.
Oh, how nice is that?
It is so nice. And do you have a receipt? Because I will turn that into the powers that be here, and perhaps you should be reimbursed.
I don't. It's okay. It's my... contribution for all your entertainment.
How about that?
You give me
the nicest thing in the world. But we didn't want you to understand. We don't want to complain. There's people without all sorts of things.
I know.
And it's Janine. The water's not for us. It's for the guests.
Like I said, next time I'm on Michigan Avenue, I'm going to go bring you guys some water.
Let me point out to you, we also do not have champagne.
Oh God, I wish I would have gotten that.
We
memo.
Like really
I would have
expensive
totally brought
champagne.
Some of that.
Oh, that's all right. Next time we'll do
something.
That's next
what
time.
I like the relationship with us, Bill, and the listeners, Janine, and she brought Bill up with her, and she brought us some water.
Yep.
It's just a wonderful thing.
And these are all sealed. These are fresh waters.
Wow.
These are new
know.
Waters.
They're sealed.
Do you ever wonder,
right from Walgreens,
when you go to a Cubs game or you go somewhere and you have people selling water, do you often wonder if they just fill up the water in their tap and then put the lid back on and then sell them?
That would be dishonest.
Yeah, or they put something else clear in
there. That would be dishonest, too.
That would be bad. Well, thank you so much. I hope you
welcome.
Have a wonderful weekend. Isn't it amazing out there? It's a Friday afternoon. The sun is out.
It's amazing out.
You have spring fever, don't you?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's chirping.
Is that you, Bill, your phone?
Yeah.
All right.
He's chirping. You could turn it off.
Well, thank you so much.
Anyway, you're welcome. Love you guys. Listen to you every day or at night when I'm not sleeping.
You'll hear a better version of the show now that we're not as hungry.
We'll be hydrated.
Yeah, it'll be better.
Yay.
Do you have any Charlie Chan information you'd like to share with Bill before we let you go?
I don't.
Nothing? All right, that's all right.
Have a great weekend, Janine. Thank you so much,
you
Bill.
Too.
Nice to meet you.
Too.
Nice to meet you guys.
How about that?
That's nice, people. That's what that is. All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You recognize this?
The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan.
Now I do.
I guess that was a good clue.
The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan.
Are you president of the Charlie Chan fan club?
No, they wouldn't let me be president. With the past I've had, are you kidding? I couldn't run for president of anything.
Who was the guy's name you were thinking of?
J. Carroll Nash was one of the many actors who played Charlie Chan over the years. Now, the reason I bring this up is this. I think this is a true testament to how fed up we are as a society with Donald Trump news, is that I had a story that we started, and then as soon as people heard it, we got 45 phone calls from people that wanted to talk about Charlie Chan.
I know.
Which is not as important in the scheme of things as Donald Trump, but people just wanted to talk about anything, I guess, except Donald Trump.
I will tell you this, when we were walking out of the building, and it was last Friday, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
you said to me, I'm not going to use the Google machine. Will you just look it up? I know it's three names, like three guys' names.
Yeah.
Will you just tell me if I'm right doing that? And I didn't have time to do it. We were walking out. You mentioned it again.
Mm-hmm.
It stayed with me, really not the whole weekend. But I thought, you know, you can't do this to yourself. You need to put some closure on it.
Yeah, I know.
So but, what's his name?
That would be J. Carroll Nash. But there were other actors, obviously, who played him over the years. Some better than others, but yeah, that was a very huge movie serial in the 1940s. Well, first it was a serial, and then it became a series of movies in the 40s.
I think we should start a new contest. What is Bill thinking? Bless you, Kevin.
That would be weird.
Really?
Normally, it's just blank. It's just
no. You are the things that you think about.
That doesn't make sense. Does
are
it?
Very different from the things I think about.
It doesn't make sense. Can I just quickly, for any, if there's one person out there who is wondering who the celebrities are that are leaving the country,
I have to be honest with you. I am kind of wondering
who
the
know?
New people are that like them or that are leaving.
I don't know if this is going to influence anybody, but you're going to see a parade of people now, as has happened in other years, say, if that guy or that woman is elected the president, I don't want to be part of this country anymore, so I'm moving to Canada or England or somewhere else, but I'm not going to be a U.S. citizen. I've heard regular people say it, but now celebrities or semi-celebrities are starting to say it. Here are among the first two. You've got Raven Simone.
Let her go.
Wendy, this is the star of That's So Raven. You want Raven Simone to leave the country?
That's my husband Jimmy Mack's favorite guilty pleasure show.
That's So Raven?
I will come in and see him watching it.
What is and when you see that image, when you walk into a room and Jimmy is secretly watching an episode of That's So Raven, what thought comes to your head?
I said, what show is that? And he goes, oh my God, it's That's So Raven. Yeah. Raven. I watch it all the time. He knows all the characters. I've never seen an episode.
And then do you say, we've got real TV to watch. Put Fuller House on. I can't sit through this junk.
I get where you're going. I enjoyed the Fuller House.
All right. So Raven Simone, if what she says is true, former Cosby co-star, then That's So Raven, and now she's on The View.
Which surprises me she's saying this, because I thought this was going to be a list of people who just want their name in the news again, but she's
no,
popular.
She's in, yeah, people, I guess.
Although isn't she, isn't it rumored that they want her off that show?
It's rumored that they want everybody off The View now. There's a lot of, it's...
Ever since you quit The View,
it's all
had
gone,
trouble.
I know, it's falling apart. And the other celebrity is Dominic Moynihan. Do you know who he is?
Nope.
He was Charlie on Lost. He's on. He's in all the Lord of the Rings movies. He's one of the guys.
Oh,
that
the
makes...
blondish guy.
Yeah.
The heroin addict in Lost.
Yeah. And he's not even from here originally. He's a UK guy who came here and now says, "If this is the direction of the country, I'm going back to the UK. I don't need this."
Well, he can't jump on this bandwagon.
No, this is just for U.S. citizens only. Yeah. Although he may be, I don't know his status. He may have converted over and is a U.S. citizen. But these are just two of the people who say, if Donald J. Trump is our president, I don't want in, I'll go somewhere else. But you and I have said this before, there should be some legal precedent saying, if you say this, you have to follow suit. You can't just say it for the sake of saying it. If you threaten to leave and you don't get your way, you have to leave.
Depends who the person is. Because this has happened before, and I mean, when Alec Baldwin said this, he was still on 30 Rock, wasn't
right.
he? Was he going to leave and give up that show?
Yeah, that's how serious he was. But I can't remember. Was that for Romney? I can't remember Alec Baldwin's reason for wanting to leave.
I think it was Mitt.
Was
Romney.
It for if Mitt Romney becomes president? Okay, well then he doesn't have to worry because Mitt Romney didn't become president.
Well, Ted Nugent has to worry.
He didn't say leave the country. He said jail or he said, I'll either be in jail or dead. Do we hold him to that?
No.
We can't hold him to
it's
that
It's a
one.
War crime. We can't hold him to that.
Right. All right. So he can stay.
I am so into the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is bizarre, Bill, that we heard Steve and Kim report that they found a knife. Some construction worker had found it.
True.
And told someone. We're going to find out all about it. Alex Stone is live in L.A. This is a weird tie-in. Come on. Why all of a sudden now do they find it when this TV series hits the air?
It is really peculiar that this is when all of a sudden this comes to light. Because this happened, well, as he'll point out, months and months ago, right? Isn't that when? So, all right, we'll get to the bottom of that with Alex Stone from ABC News. That's what's coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What they doing? Very good, Bill.
You're welcome.
The OJs, Backstabbers. I remember we played this song on another radio station when the whole OJ Simpson thing was going on.
Seems appropriate, doesn't it?
If you're watching television, the People versus OJ Simpson, we all are. We kind of make fun of the over-the-top acting, but yet I cannot wait for Tuesdays to watch it every week. And on the line with us right now is Alex Stone. Are you live in L.A. right now?
I am in Los Angeles. Hey, guys.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. We heard the news. I'm wondering, Bill is wondering, if this is some kind of tie-in. A knife was found. Why don't you go into the details?
Yeah, so what we know, and there are a lot of questions right now, even the LAPD doesn't seem to really know what this is about a month ago, a retired police officer somehow came to the LAPD. They aren't confirming how it happened. There are some reports that the police officer was going to frame this weapon and wanted to get some information about the case to put into the frame. And somebody said, wait a second. You have a weapon that came from O.J. Simpson's estate that he claims that he was doing movie security, which a lot of off-duty police officers do, where they are on motorcycles that are not police department motorcycles, but they wear their police uniforms off-duty to do security for movie shoots around L.A., and that they were in O.J. Simpson's former neighborhood at the Rockingham Estate for this shoot back in the late 90s, and that a construction worker came up and said, hey, officer, we found this knife on the property while we were demolishing the home. It has since been demolished and rebuilt into something else. And that he took it and that he kept it all of these years until now, and that it is a knife that may have come from the Simpson property, may have been buried on the property, and it's now being tested for forensics and DNA.
I have a question, Alex, and I do not remember every detail of the O.J. Simpson trial, but the weapon was found that he allegedly used to murder Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. So what?
No, the knife was never found.
Really?
Prosecutors tried to leave the impression with the jury that Simpson threw it in a garbage can at the airport as he jumped on a flight to Chicago. And if you've been watching the People versus O.J. Simpson, you know he was in Chicago and got that phone call. I only happened to start watching it on a flight and binge-watched it last week, and then now this happened. I went, wow, this is great timing. But there have been theories that Robert Kardashian disposed of it at some point, and now you add this possible scenario, and all of these were theories, but now you add this, that it may have been buried on the property. If you remember from watching the show, that Kate O'Kalin said he heard a thump on the guest house wall the night of the murder where the bloody glove was found. We don't know where on the property. Police don't know either at this point. They don't know who this construction worker was who 20 years ago approached this police officer, according to the police officer, former police officer, of where they would have dug this up. Could it have been in that same area where Kate O'Kalin said he heard that big thump and woke up? And bottom line, all of this could be bogus and could be absolutely nothing. It could turn out to be, if you remember John Mark Carr and the JonBenet Ramsey case years ago, we all went crazy because he claimed he killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Right.
And it turned out to be absolutely nothing. The LAPD says it's investigating. It had this knife for the past couple of weeks. It's doing lab tests on it, but it may have absolutely nothing to do with the case.
You have to admit, though, Alex, the timing on this is a little peculiar with the movie mid-court, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is a little weird timing-wise, and why would a police officer who, according to what the investigators know right now, he was a traffic officer who, again, was off-duty doing this security.
Yeah.
Why would a sworn police officer take a knife supposedly from the estate of O.J. Simpson,
a murder scene,
worker who says that they dug it up and put it in his pocket and never turn it in? That just doesn't make any sense. But they say that he claims that he thought the case was closed at that point because a trial had concluded, and the LAPD says the case is never closed on a case where they don't get a conviction, that even though O.J. Simpson cannot be tried again because of double jeopardy, that because they didn't get a conviction means that there could be another suspect out there somewhere, and because of that, the case never actually closes.
I forgot, because Bill and I were talking about this when the news broke today, and I said, did they find the weapon? And I couldn't remember that they did.
I thought they had, too, but they had not, evidently, huh?
Yeah, it was a big part of the case that they didn't have the weapon. They had the gloves, the bloody gloves. They had the Bruno Mali shoes, or at least the imprint, and knew that he had worn Bruno Mali's. But that knife would have been a major image that we would have seen over and over and over again, but they didn't get the actual murder weapon, the one that they think committed the crimes.
Alec, the strange part is, and again, a spoiler alert to anybody who has not seen the end of the miniseries. I hate to ruin the ending.
Oh, no, don't tell me. I haven't seen it.
All right.
How could you say it's not over yet?
I will word this carefully then, because I don't want to divulge what happens at the end of the case.
Are you going to tell me he's acquitted?
I'm not saying. I will not blow it for you. But isn't it peculiar in a major case? Some have called that the court case of the century. That after what happened to OJ happened or didn't happen, if you haven't seen it, they didn't go on really to do much in terms of finding another killer.
Well, if you remember, he did a lot of golfing, saying he was working on it.
Yeah.
And then now he is in prison in Nevada, a case I covered for months during his trial in Las Vegas for armed robbery and kidnapping. And I spoke to his former attorney from the time of that trial today, Yale Galanter. And Yale is still a practicing attorney. He's on vacation in Aspen, but he doesn't represent O.J. Simpson anymore. But he still believes, and he says Simpson believes too, that the book was thrown at him in Nevada by the judge, Nancy Glass, in that case, because of what happened in California, that they still believe that that was a completely unjust ruling to give him up to 30 years in prison for going back and trying to get his memorabilia. But a jury in Nevada saw that as armed robbery and kidnapping when he went into that hotel room to get his stuff, and he got a long prison term for that. Didn't get it in California, but got it in Nevada.
But there's you got to admit, there's some validity to that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he wouldn't have had that long of a sentence had he not had a previous alleged crime that he escaped justice from.
Don't
well,
you think?
You know, in Nevada, prosecutors and the court say no, that because that first trial had absolutely nothing to do. In fact, everything was excluded that had happened in California from that trial. But it kind of kept coming up because part of the whole thing was trying to keep items away and money away from the Goldman family after the civil verdict. And we have to know that those jurors knew what happened in California when that trial was going on in 2008. So as much as you say, you know what, ignore. You don't act like you don't know what happened back in 1994. If you're a juror in 2008, they likely did know, and that may have played a role. The judge also, she was tough on Simpson in Vegas and on his attorneys, and some said that she was playing it up for the cameras in the courtroom. We don't know. She went on to have her own TV show that she doesn't have any longer, but it was definitely an interesting trial, as was the original one, but every trial involving O.J. Simpson has been fascinating.
Do you think, Alec, at some point, Cuba Gooding Jr. will serve time for overacting?
For whining.
You know, I don't know. I thought he actually did a pretty good job. Do you think he went too far?
Yeah.
Do you believe OJ was that much of a whiner? He just seems like he's playing a very whiny OJ.
Who knows? Who knows? All I can say is O.J. Simpson was very charismatic
right.
in the courtroom every day that we were with him in Nevada. He would stand up at breaks and come over and, hey, how you doing? How you been? What's going on? And you're thinking, this is a suspect in this case, which was an armed robbery and kidnapping. Maybe a murderer is in custody right now in his prison uniform, and he's walking around joking with everybody in the courtroom. It was an interesting scene, but you do see how charismatic the guy really is.
But I want to see more of that in OJ. I want to see a tougher, grittier OJ. I want more pulp in my OJ, I guess is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, you let the producers know about that.
All right.
Maybe they'll do American Crime Story 2.
All right.
Hey, for OJ.
Right.
Alex, when you ran into OJ Simpson in Las Vegas, was he referring to himself as the juice a lot? Because I love it. What's happening?
You know, I don't think in the courtroom we ever heard him called that, but you do definitely hear that a lot in the TV show.
What if this turns out to be something that the Manitowoc, Wisconsin Police Department planted in the Stephen Avery case, the knife in L.A.?
Mm. Interesting.
If it turns out that the LAPD planted it?
No, I'm just saying they're going to combine Stephen Avery and OJ.
Oh, put them together. And then, Netflix then has a
right.
great series on its hands.
Absolutely.
So what happens next in this case, Alex? What is the next thing that we have to await? They're doing tests on the knife. Is that it?
Yeah, they've sent the knife to the lab. They're doing DNA. They said hair sample tests, even though they don't think there are any hairs on there. Any blood tests, anything that they can get off of it. They won't even talk about what kind of knife it is. There's some rumors out there that it's kind of a switchblade sort of thing. But it may turn out to be something. The LAPD today answering questions, it didn't seem like that they think this is necessarily connected. They seem very skeptical of this whole thing. And they said, look, these sorts of things pop up from time to time. They had stayed quiet. In fact, they had even filed it under a false name in their system so that it wouldn't pop up and that folks using their computer, their internal computer system, wouldn't see O.J. Simpson on it. Because
no, they put Al Cowlings.
Yeah, exactly. And that won't flag it either. But they say that they don't necessarily know what this is, and they didn't want to create a huge situation. But so we may find out in the next couple of weeks that, you know, my goodness, imagine if it does have something to do with the case. But at this point, they say they just don't know what this is.
Fascinating.
Bizarre. So strange, really. Well, Alex, we appreciate your expertise on this. Thanks for spending time with us.
Have a great weekend.
Guys.
Have a good afternoon.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Alex.
ABC News' Alex Stone.
Somebody just texted us and said there have been bad reports. The person who did find the knife was Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes more sense, doesn't it?
Are you listening to what's going on in this world right now? The O.J. Simpson knife is found how many years later?
20-something years
later,
Donald
Trump may be president of the United States.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm dreaming right now.
It's a time warp. We're in a time warp.
Will you pinch me?
No, I'm not allowed to. HR meetings. All right, let's take a quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.